What operation are you canceling?
Dumbo drop.
Okie dokie. I thought that was about 20, 30 years ago, but whatever.
No, we're going to do another one.
Oh, okay.
This time without Dennis Leary.
Awesome. That's probably a better way to do it. Wasn't, who else was in that? I keep wanting to say George Clooney, but I know that was incorrect.
George Clooney was in it?
He was not. There was somebody, though, that was like a big name in it. Now you're going to make me look it up on IMDb, and you're just evil. That's fine.
Was the guy from...
Ray Liotta?
Ray Liotta, maybe. I was going to say the guy from Fargo.
William H. Macy?
Yes.
No, really?
He's in all those movies, isn't he? All the Dumbo dropping elephants out of airplane movies?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm looking it up on IMDb right now. It's just taking me a minute. I'm not as fast as you, John. I like to savor looking things up. I know you're taping, so it's all right.
I like to savor licking things up.
Really?
Today is the 29th,
Operation
right?
Dumbo Danny Glover.
That's what I said, Danny Glover.
No, you didn't.
He was in Fargo, wasn't he?
No, Danny Glover was not in Fargo. And Ray Liotta.
You couldn't have Danny Glover in Fargo. There are no black people in Minnesota.
That's pretty damn close.
But there is volume from your microphone.
There is a whole lot of volume. I mean, you're louder than me.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I will be the judge of that, Lee.
Now you're better. Now you're better. Look, there is no shield on tonight. I'm all good. I'm all good.
Oh, none of us are protected. There is no shield.
None of us are protected.
Now, I
no
must
shield.
Say,
just tonight.
As far as shield is concerned,
it's getting better.
Episode 3 and 4 restored my faith in the possibilities of this series.
Yeah, it's getting better. It's finding its genre. It's finding its comfort point.
Right.
Lots and lots
because,
of things like that.
Because for a while there, I didn't know who that show was for.
People that loved Coulson, that's the only people I know it was for.
Shutting the door.
Because otherwise, it was really, especially episode two was good, but episode two was not good. Episode two was interesting and did a really good setup for the team, but was not a great episode.
Ah!
What was that ah for?
I don't know.
I will try the Hazel Brown tonight.
Oh, okay.
I know what you're going to ask. I haven't given it to Widge yet because I know he's in the middle of Halloween, so it would get buried there anyway.
You haven't given what to Widge?
Our thing. The beer thing.
You're saying?
No, that I've given to him, ladies.
Okay, so my dog. So can we talk about my dog? Because you and I have dog.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my dog was having problems on Saturday and Sunday. Had to take her to the vet on Monday. And they had to do an anal expression
down,
her anal
Scott.
Glands. Yeah. That was $35 well fucking spent, by the way, because I looked it up on Google today and went, oh, dear God,
that
was $35 way fucking well spent.
If you bring her to the groomer is supposed to do it. You should ask the groomer when they do it.
They
do, but they
don't usually go to the groomer anymore because now we've got some things and we're cutting her here. So we're keeping her at like the kind of shag level
here. The only difference is that the groomer usually will go from the outside.
Yeah,
and so it won't get as clean out there. Well, because beagles have the same problem. Actually, yeah. Ironically, see the Widge is doing the 37,000 days of Halloween anyway.
Kind of like when we do the 37,000 days of Dragon Con. Yeah.
So any weekend justice would get buried there anyway. But but the reason why we couldn't do it last week is because my dog was actually I was up all night Tuesday morning. Basically, I didn't go to bed until like 2 or 3.
Is she okay? Which one, Emma or
Emma the beagle? Deal was is that she actually injured her back and she has back problems. So anyway, she was up all night crying and couldn't get comfortable. And so,
what do they do for that?
For
Maggie pain pills. Don't laugh, man.
Yeah,
they cost more than ours do, by the way.
She's been
I thought they cost less.
She's been on painkillers.
Yeah.
I mean, just in terms of size,
Whose thing is going off in the background?
You know, I am right. The opposite of a narcoleptic, so I was, you know,
I just took a little nap.
You're an
alcoholic. Like 11 o'clock when I fell asleep. I don't think that should count.
What is the opposite of a narcoleptic? Alcoholic? It's not narcotics?
Well, let's see.
Narcoleptic is the one who just falls asleep at any time, which would be not me, because I...
So
I
Widge wakes up at any time.
Widge being awake all
the
time.
You sleep when you're on your period?
What?
Huh?
Huh?
Wow.
She said something about sleeping in period, so you sleep on your period?
What?
Scott, you know nothing about women and women parts, so just don't even try.
I know,
Scott, I love you dearly, but everybody on this podcast knows more about women parts than you.
Gotta love what your uterus says.
Everybody.
You say that if it's a bad thing.
I didn't say it was a bad thing. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I don't want to know about lady parts. You people have weird shit down there.
Why is it always cock with you?
Wow.
Wait. Women have weird shit down there? Really? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Dude, I'm a dude and I have no...
Heat of the night bullshit is that?
Yeah, I have...
Okay. We got a good theme. Let's keep going on this one. So let's explain that I had to take my dog to get anal glands done. I have a male cat who...
Hang on.
What exactly are anal glands?
They're glands.
They're gross.
No, wait a minute.
Gross.
Now, when you say
I've ever spent at the vet, I swear to God.
No, hang on. Whoa.
This shit up.
Whoa, Lee. Lee, yep. I need to understand this.
Uh huh.
Is that like getting one's nails done? I mean, do they spruce up the glands?
No.
Oh.
So basically, our dog was seeming to have some problems this weekend going potty. And giving her lots of water and checking her and everything and just was having problems. So we still actually has a urinary tract infection, and I'll tell you about this part in just a second. But then they also went and checked and see, because they're little dogs, their anal glands, more than big dogs, John, we can talk about this in a second, but more than big dogs, little dogs, their anal glands get impacted. And so they have to be expressed. Don't look this up on Google, especially do not watch any videos of it.
Wait a minute. You're losing me here.
Please, Lee, I was in the middle of having some pudding. Do go on.
Wait, no, hang on. I'm losing here. So why must they be expressed? Can you not just send them ground mail?
No, can't. Cannot do that. They must be expressed per
squeeze.
Is it a freshness issue?
No, it actually can cause more health problems. It actually causes constipation and other issues.
So you have to ship them in dry ice?
That would probably be better.
Okay.
Than what the vet did. So the vet had to do this. But then I've also had to walk around behind the dog today to try to get a pee sample. All right, so only John and I have children.
Yeah,
oh boy, go with this one. So basically, if you've ever had a child pee on you or throw up on you, you think this is never going to
hold
end.
On. Why do you think that Widge hasn't had a child pee on him?
Wait a minute. I was 14 when my sister was born. The only reason they had me, it turns out, was so that I would be old enough to be a babysitter for my younger siblings. And literally, they said, well, you're going to be up anyway, and handed me the infant. So I am fully trained
with an infant. You see, future parents, that's called planning.
Me, I didn't do – I only have one. We had to stay up with him. But so when you have a little baby and they pee on you, it honest to God seems that it's never going to end. Well, my dog, who I walked around the little yard with the little thing I got to catch – pee in. Basically, as soon as I tried to get the thing under her to catch the pee, my dog, unlike children, will not continue to pee. My dog has a little switch. He goes, oh yeah, no, you want this? Nope, can't have it. Nope. literally can stop peeing in a nanosecond.
Well, yeah, because he's got some weird lady wanting to collect his pee. Yeah. I would try to stop too.
Lee, I think that Lee, I think the technical term for that is that the dog can stop in a picosecond.
A pico. All right, there you go. That's what I'm having to do. And so, yeah. And then John's dog is on painkillers. Which kind do they have him on? Her on. Sorry.
She's on lots of stuff actually right now.
Oh poor baby. How is she taking them?
She's fine. We actually had to go back to the doctor and get more. We had to get some. Basically Prilosec, I guess. Whatever it is, because she got upset stomach and was...
Jump a lot? Does she jump on
That's what the...
That's
the,
a bad thing for those little...
Oh, is it really?
Beagles...
They're long. They're not...
Yeah, beagles... Beagles are known for their back problem. Well, not known
for... So are dachshunds.
Yeah, beagles and dachshunds, I knew about their back, but I didn't know something about...
The only thing that beagles are known for is their back problems, that's all.
And adorable.
Because
and
sleeping on dog houses is hard.
Yeah, yes. And then Woodstock is not heavy enough to really walk on Snoopy's back. I mean,
hold on. I didn't realize we had this. We had this going on as well.
What else is going on?
What?
Oh my god!
What's happening?
Oh my god! We have somebody from Portland here. Oh,
hey.
Unless they're donuts, I'm not talking to him.
Now, didn't you get any? You get any at Dragon Con?
I didn't.
My child did and would not share. He, like, sucked that sucker down.
Oh, wait. You tried to take away his donut?
I did.
But I have no excuse.
I just wanted a bite.
The problem is I have no excuse because I was actually in the room when they arrived. So I didn't get any.
Hang on.
And they sat there for a while.
Let me just get JJ up to speed. JJ?
Mm-hmm.
Anal glands. All right.
Okay.
Proceed.
You're up to speed.
Okay, we're good. Okay, so then, all right, so
would
these
you
are
like
the
us to talk about how you didn't get anyone donuts this time?
Okay, so, and then, not this weekend, but the weekend before, my face has been itching. And as we already know, because I did a weekend justice, I do a chemical peel myself, and I thought, oh, I just did the chemical peel. It just got a little bad right there. No, I had ringworm on my face.
Oh, man.
Because there is a little tingle on my tongue. Our sweet kitten, who loves us all very, very dearly and loves me a whole lot, shelter kitties get ringworm, which I didn't know, and gave it to me. I am the only one in the household who got it, but yeah. So then we have to, also you have to bathe the cat in something that smells, honest to God, it is a sulfur solution, and it smells worse than rotten eggs. It
that
is the nastiest stuff.
Dirty.
It's sulfur.
It is nasty. It stinks up the whole house. We've got windows open, fans going, candles lit. It's just, yeah.
Have you tried getting a priest?
I think I'm just bringing somebody in. I'll get them to come here and bless mine and then send them down.
Well,
what are we talking about?
A priest. Get through all of our pet issues.
Oh, I didn't know what you were blessing.
Okay, and I'm also echoing now, John. What'd you do to me?
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you did.
You did. Now it's gone.
It'll come out in the wash.
Now, Rox, let me just ask you.
Yeah.
Do you think a priest would have better luck following the dog and getting the pee sample?
If it's projectile pee, yeah. I mean, look at The Exorcist. When she spit, you know, puke greens, you know, it went right to them. To them. So if it's possessed pee, all they need is a little bucket and really good, you know.
Your mother knows what I tell.
I also have things to talk about Kidlet too, but keep going. Sorry. I just don't want to forget.
Okay, and you have to imagine that priests and such are used to babies like urinating on them during baptism and stuff.
You know,
Scott.
We don't need to know about your upbringing.
Babies wear diapers, and so they wouldn't be peeing on the priest.
Why not?
That was another biology minute with Scott.
Scott, I know you like babies. You've held babies. Have you ever had a baby just pee on you just because somebody said, here, hold this baby, or you took a baby and held it?
Well, no, because babies like me. They wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Well, it's not my – it's not – yeah.
Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Try again.
No, please don't. Please don't try again.
No. Okay, so no, Scott, they have babies have this thing called diapers, and yeah, they usually don't pee on priests. They will cry during.
Have you? They will if they're
leak possibly. It could possibly leak.
Yeah.
The diaper. I mean, it's not like. Trust me, I've had a child pee on me. There is a difference between a little bit of diaper leakage and a child full throttle peeing on you. Trust me on this, folks.
You're into some weird shit, aren't you?
No, I've told that my child got sick in the car.
Oh, Echo.
And Widge, too. Widge is in a tunnel. So am I.
Hello.
Hello. I'm not.
Okay, now it's over.
I'm not either. I don't know what anybody else is.
Okay, mine's gone.
I'm not hearing anything over here.
It must not be in the mix, but we're echoing like crazy, John.
Right now?
Hang on. No, not right now.
John, how about right now?
Playing around with his Pink Floyd button.
How about right now?
Not right now.
How about right now?
John is playing with that board.
How about right now?
Hey, Lee.
Hey.
How about right now?
So the question is, the thing about Kidlet is that are you going to tell us that he got so far beyond like third base that the base is now Tracy Island from the Thunderbirds?
No, he had a date on Saturday and that went very well.
Okay.
But no, he's actually also at his He is also at tonight at a concert without his parents. A friend of ours took him to see Sleigh Bells, so he is at a concert tonight.
Oh, really?
Wow. Sleigh Bells? All right.
What do I know? Wait, is this a bad thing that I let my friend take him to
sleep? No. Kids and the goth girls.
You, not so bad for the kid.
Well, what you don't understand, Lee, is that it's spelled S-L-A-Y bells, and it's like a goth rock deathcore
barbershop quartet.
Norwegian
Gore.
Yes.
Oh, God, is that Rob? Rob, how bad is this? Have I really ruined my child?
No.
No, I would say that you took him to a concert there with that that's fine.
These are goth.
They're better live than on record.
History.
Are they really better live than on record?
I think so, but yeah.
Well, he's at them live tonight right now.
So they fixed it is what you're saying, cuz the one time I saw them live it was just the two of them and it was like she's singing, he's playing guitar, and then 95% of it's a backing track. And I'm like, well, why don't I just stay home?
I know on the last tour they hired a bassist.
Somewhat of a backing track, but they augmented it a little bit. I mean,
oh, okay. So. That's cool.
I know on the last tour they hired a bassist. I don't know if they've expanded the band, the touring band, slightly.
Echo.
And the Bunnymen. I don't know.
I don't know.
People are strange.
When you're a stranger.
When you're a stranger, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that. Aces look ugly when you're alone.
Especially mine.
And Widge, he's been talking to that girl more at school, and he's hoping to get a second date.
Oh, wait. No, we didn't know about the first date. Wait, we didn't know about the first date, right?
Yeah, he went to the homecoming, some people did, but yes, he went to the homecoming dance with her.
Oh, this was quite the fascinating topic Saturday night.
Yes, it was.
Oh, well, it wasn't podcast news.
Well, it's because everybody was harassing the out of me on Saturday night. And I'm echoing John.
Is that why you
retreated?
Okay,
stop announcing it because we can't hear it over here.
Is that why you retreated to the sofa to... you know, wall yourself off from all the abrasiveness?
No, at that point, I was just tired.
Okay.
And I had been nervous. Actually, what I realized is all three people in this household were nervous about this date, Dad and I were nervous because, oh my God, our baby is growing up. And Kidlet was, I mean, he was wearing a suit. He picked out his own tie. It was a Jerry Garcia tie. Very nice.
What?
What?
He looked very nice, by the way.
He did.
A Jerry, yeah. What's wrong a with Jerry the Garcia tie? Tie?
He liked it. Tasteful. Yeah.
I think
and it had
tie.
Blue in it, and it was had and it had a light blue and a light purple in it, which are two of her favorite colors.
And came
so
with a roach clip.
You took your son out to a dance wearing a tie that advertised tie. I smoke pot.
Exactly.
Well, it didn't look like it. It didn't say, hi, I smoke
it's
pot.
It's a Jerry Garcia tie. It doesn't have to.
It has its own language.
All the other parents said, all the other parents saw the Jerry Garcia tie and said, oh, I know what they do in their family.
They did not. No, because some of us are allergic and throw up. Found
no,
that
but they don't know that.
Whoa, whoa. You're allergic to Jerry Garcia ties?
Yes, I am.
This doesn't make any sense.
Yes, I am.
What, you're allergic to Ben and Jerry's?
Oh, then that would be horrible because, you know, complete sidebar.
I know that's bullshit.
Nice.
Lee's peeing now, apparently, just so everyone knows. She's peeing
oh
right
God.
Now. Catch it. Can you catch it, Lee?
Run, priest, run. Wait.
So
no.
After I swallow, there is a little tingle on my tongue.
Whoa.
Wait, oh, an old one and a young one. An old one and a young one. Didn't you learn anything?
Oh.
So you need a Lovecraft character and Rick Mayall?
Probably, yes.
Okay, good. So I tried cotton candy Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
What? Wait, what?
I just yes. Wow, okay.
Yeah, no, I said sidebar, which basically means I can't be arsed to provide a segue.
Oh.
So, no, yes. Basically, Roxy
right,
has...
Okay, out of the candy hierarchy in my life, it's yeah. black licorice.
Yeah.
And I would say cotton candy.
Well, it tastes just like cotton candy, Rox. It has 6 or 7 different types of sugar in it. It's a Walmart exclusive flavor.
Wow.
So that means you can put it in your coffee then.
Yeah.
Well, you can put anything in coffee.
Well, yes.
And in fact, you can put needs in coffee. And Amazon's and needs in coffee. Or needs coffee in Amazon.
You could also put that damn Jerry Garcia tie in coffee and never wear it again.
Hey, it is a very nice tie, damn it.
Wow, you are a quick peer.
Yeah, I'm a quick peer. I'm always a quick peer. Shut up.
I'm just going to give everybody segments tonight. Scott had biology. I'm going to give Rob the fashion segment.
And oh, and by the way, Lee's tip, because I have trained my child this way. My sister and I have trained both of our boys this way, which is, look, it doesn't matter if you're a good dancer, a bad dancer, whatever. Girls just like that you will dance. They danced every dance together, both slow and fast. And she said, and they had a good time. So
they
see,
slow danced?
Yes, they did. Harder. Oh,
hand.
My God. John, I will hurt you. So help me. Because at some point, your daughter is going to date, and you have no
see,
idea. That
that's where
I'm
you're
saying,
wrong.
Public.
Yes,
all right.
But you don't have a soundboard.
I don't know, Lee. At this point, you know, he's not going to send his child out into the world in a fucking Jerry Garcia tie.
Sorry, I gotta get back. I gotta tell about the Jerry Garcia tie. It was
hey,
a very wait, nice tie.
Hey,
we
JJ.
Wait a minute. We need to get back to this ice cream. Because
which ice cream are we talking about? Ben and Jerry's?
The cotton candy. Because, you know,
oh,
with cotton candy, it's the texture thing of spun. It's almost like eating fiberglass that's tasty.
Insulation.
See,
by the way, how did you figure that out, Lee? Oh, Rox.
What?
How'd you figure that out?
Figure that out? I don't know.
He eats fiberglass all the time.
Yeah, it's good insulation and everything.
Well, it's the hobo test kitchen she has.
Yes, welcome to today's test kitchen in Hobo Land.
Oh my God, I would watch the shit out of Hobo Test Kitchen.
My God, wouldn't it? Oh my gosh, you have
it's on Sundays after Top Chef.
How to cook in a tin can? The hobo. Brunswick stew,
oh,
complete
wait.
With a shoe.
Wait, Rox, I've got
who
it.
Knew?
What about Iron Hobo Chef, where it's like the secret ingredient is shoe leather?
Hold on, wait, I got a sound effect for that. Wait a minute, why didn't I do that?
Yeah.
Too late now.
I'm gonna go back. I'm sorry. I want to go back to threatening John about his daughter dating and all of that.
Okay.
No, we're
okay.
talking about ice John... cream now.
Okay, wait. Oh, did you hear about the new Ben and Jerry's flavor?
Cotton candy?
Scotchies. There's... Scotchy scotch.
Is it like butter? Wait a minute. Okay, don't do this to me. Is it like butterscotch?
Yes.
No. It, well, it's a butterscotch ice cream with a butterscotch.
You know that's third on my
JJ. A man of few words.
Third on my list.
I'm looking it up now. Hang on.
Third on my candy list. Butterscotch.
It's coming out. It's in conjunction with Anchorman 2 for Ron Burgundy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Butterscotch ice cream with butterscotch swirls. We've been trying to find this.
It's only in the stores right now. It's going to be in pints, supposedly, like right around Thanksgiving.
Where else would it be if it's only in the stores right now?
You mean scoop?
It's in movie
theaters. No, stores as in the actual, the Ben and Jerry's go in and get a scoop store.
Oh, so the scoop shop.
Can you? Yeah, the scoop shop where things are scooped.
Yes.
The ice cream shop. Not at like
where newspaper workers
go
work.
And get the pint.
Reporters work. They get scooped.
Yeah.
And they all speak like they're in the 1940s.
It's important every once in a while to just, you know, go to the damn Ben and Jerry's site and make sure they haven't snuck out a flavor on your ass.
Now, since we're talking about ice cream.
Did anybody ever try Sweaty Balls? Was it
anything? Oh, yes. Oh, it was excellent.
It's probably Scott.
But no, we're talking about ice cream, though.
I meant the ice cream, not...
Not the Icelandic guy.
Shut up.
I'm just saying.
The lemon sugar cookie from Publix is delicious.
Oh, okay. We got to go try that one. Lemon sugar cookie.
Lemon sugar cookie.
Oh, the malted milk balls of Publix is good, too.
Okay. Another one. I'm writing these down. You guys don't understand. We're
I also like their peppermint, but the peppermint is just kind of their peppermint stick is... It's just, you know, that's just seasonal type thing.
See, I'm also somebody who likes just kind of like plain, unless I'm going with the Ben and Jerry's, like the fish food or something like that. I like a plain one because I love the double churned Edie's vanilla right now.
You know what? I'm going to go get some ice cream. I'll be right back.
Chocolate on top. What are you going to go get?
Oh, I think they're two for $7 this week.
Ooh, at Publix?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good Publix. So... Yeah. I'm sorry. When John's daughter starts dating, I'm sending her everything from Public Health. I can't wait. I can't. He's being mean to me. I'm going to send her everything.
Unless I tell him.
Rocks! Sleepy Hollow. Sleepy
Hollow. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Wait, speaking of anal glands.
Hey, we're not talking about anal glands.
Wait. Hang on. So, also in the Ben and Jerry's store?
Oh.
Candy bar pie.
Candy bar pie. What kind of candy bar?
What's that?
All hinges butter, on what kind of candy bar.
Peanut butter ice cream with fudge flakes, chocolate nougat, and sweet and salty pretzel swirls.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Sign me up.
Oh,
where's the
whole
series for me?
Do I what?
For the, I'm assuming this is for the scoop shop.
Oh, I see it now.
Okay,
oh
we're all
God.
Now going and looking this up.
Oh, White Russian Ben and Jerry's. Hell to the yes.
Yeah, but it's like you said, it's only it's. Do you guys have a scoop shop around
Oh,
there?
Yeah, I'll fucking find one now.
I was about to say,
yeah,
do
one.
We have...
I've got one in my neighborhood. I'm going to go there now.
It's happening.
Rob's going to take the phone, okay?
It's happening.
It's literally 8 minutes. It's like there and back.
Oh, shit! No.
Yes.
Where? How far away are we? There's not one near us?
No, there used to be at least one at the airport. Now there's nothing. The closest
one
the closest one is Athens, according to their shop locator.
Oh, that sucks that I go to Athens a lot. Damn, sucks to be you, Widge.
I can think of about three within walking distance from where I live.
Fuck all the
other
ones. We used to have one, but it was on this crappy road that it was too busy for people to really stop.
Yes, there is only one in Athens.
Wow. What the hell? They've closed them all.
We have college students. We have like 7 colleges in Atlanta. They're smoking pot just like they are at UGA, and they need ice cream. Why don't they have Ben and Jerry's near them?
Yes, but two of them have the varsity.
Well, they, Emery, for crying out loud. Emery needs a Ben and Jerry's near them. Come on.
They have
on.
The high-end Ben and Jerry's, though, so.
Jeez.
Wow.
Man. I mean, we got Cold Stone Creameries all over the damn place.
Oh, those are horrible.
Yeah.
Not one of my favorites.
What was that?
What?
Cold what Stone Creameries.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. They're right next to the Ben and Jerry's in my neighborhood, and it's really funny because the amount of people that are waiting in line to go into the Ben and Jerry's and the number of people not in Cold Stone Creamery at all is pretty noticeable.
Wow, that is so sad.
Have you had the coffee caramel buzz yet, Widge? I'm assuming yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, and they did put out coffee, buzz, buzz, buzz back in pints.
Coffee, buzz, buzz. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Coffee. You know, I still like the cake batter. I love cake batter.
I'm glad you did. I could have done without the chocolate.
Well, see, the cake batter. No, I gotta say honestly, yeah, you're right on that with the Ben and Jerry's. I like cake batter ice cream, but without anything in it, just cake batter ice cream.
Yeah, it's like not
Brewster's has one that's amazing.
Right, it's just cake batter.
Yeah, and it's not birthday cake because birthday cake tastes like crap. It's too sweet. It's kind of like cotton candy.
By the way, Lee. That's
wait. What do you mean too sweet?
Too sweet.
By the way, because we have so many damn Brewsters around here, Lee, it is why we don't have Ben and Jerry's.
Fuck, man. Well, get rid of one of these damn Brewsters and bring a fucking Brewster. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, we've already tried to get rid of the one at Gwinnett Place twice.
Yeah,
it just keeps coming back.
It keeps coming back. It'll never go away.
The ice cream Hydra. Oh, God. Oh, so speaking of which, speaking
ice cream
of Hydra.
Hydra.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So let's talk about the good first. The Captain America trailer is fucking badass.
By the way, Kim is under the weather. She sends her regrets.
Well, what she needs to do is watch that trailer a few more times, and she will be miraculously healed, knowing her.
Actually,
she's probably watched it once daily, like vitamins.
That's probably why she's hourly. That's actually why she's exhausted, Widge.
Oh, okay.
She's wore out.
You know, crashing helicarriers is hard work.
It doesn't crash. It just gets a boo-boo. What?
What?
I think there's braking involved, Lee.
I didn't see any braking. I just saw it was sitting there so they could fix it. But I can't figure out who the hell Robert Redford is.
He's a Sundance kid.
He's Robert fucking Redford.
He's Robert fucking Redford. He can be whoever the fuck he wants. I understand that. I'm just I can't figure out if he's like the new WSC or is he the new Nick Fury or I can't figure out who he is.
No, he is. We figured it out. The Sundance Kid, if you assume he survived Bolivia, he would have gotten to World War II time frame to take the super soldier serum at the age that Robert Redford is now. How convenient. Then he became Martin Bishop in Sneakers.
Awesome.
He used that alias. Then he used the alias of the guy in Spy Game, and now he's Alexander Pierce in Captain America 2. So there you go.
And he has the quickening.
He does.
So he's kind of like Jeremy Renner, who basically whatever it is.
I love his cherries.
Okay, so it's kind of like him being in, you know, Mission Impossible 4 or whatever gajillion it was, along with Bourne Identity and then Hawkeye.
Kind of like that, but entirely different.
And not at all like that.
He didn't get frozen and get a super serum, except he did do that in Bourne Identity. He got a super serum in Bourne Identity.
Right. Exactly, Lee.
He did.
Yes, I believe
he did. Or born, whatever the fuck it was.
Yes.
So have you been, Lee, have you been smoking your son's tie?
That was the movie called Born Free.
I have it over here. You guys are going to make me go.
You know, that was Born Hard.
Tomato?
Three. Born Harder.
Born Harder?
Hey, don't get Scott excited.
You know, Kim and I would go and watch that, Tuffles. so you need to be quiet.
Whoa, Scott being excited?
You know what? The fact that we actually did go to see Hansel & Gretel just sort of means we will go and see anything that guy's in.
Yes, we will. Why the hell do you think we watched that fourth Bourne movie?
So if Captain America is the good, how is everyone feeling about Misfit Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Science?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting better. It's finding its genre.
The last episodes
have been better.
Well, the most recent episode had its ups and downs. I mean,
which one was the most recent one?
Scorch.
It still needs to find a tone and maybe stay with it.
Yeah.
I think it's having a problem getting there.
Because, and that was the problem, and as we all know and well documented, that was the problem we had with Torchwood. They couldn't find a tone that stay with it.
That was not the only problem with Torchwood.
That was a big part of the problem with Torchwood.
The TV series, not the specials. The biggest problem is it was trying to be three different TV shows. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, the tone was all over the map. If the tone's not right, you can forgive a lot. If the tone's right, you can forgive a lot.
And if the tone is low, you can get Funky Cole Medina.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And I think we're getting there because I think in the Scorch thing, there were more periods of good tone than bad tone, unlike episode 2, which was really upsetting now that I've rewatched it a couple more times.
Do you see what I was talking about that?
Oh, an episode. I already told you that I understood your issues with episode 2. I did.
Because you go from the large scale of episode 1 to like a bottle episode in episode 2.
You had to have the team building episode, but they could have.
Did it have to look so cheap?
Yeah. You could have done it a little better. And you could have had the 084. I don't think that was a well-written episode. This is not going up for Emmy contention. So, it's not. Yeah.
I agree with you. The writing needs to improve a lot. It's not very imaginative. I mean, the whole thing with her big secret is just so fucking cliche.
Well, and very honestly, I think the other issue is that we knew this was going to happen. We've been talking about this going to be happening, but the issue there is this shouldn't be a reveal in episode 5. This doesn't make any sense that she's already fucked him over in episode 5 and Coulson's giving her another chance. It makes sense.
If I'm following this right, because ABC had originally asked for a complete storyline in 13 episodes.
Yep.
So because they've ordered the back 9, we will probably get the conclusion of that storyline, or at least part of it, and then something else starts. But the thing is, it does seem a little the tone sort of bothers me, and it bothers me a little more now than I thought it did.
Yeah.
But also,
when it is off, it is very off.
It's very off.
Yeah.
And again, like I was saying a minute ago, if the tone's right, if it's consistent, you can forgive a lot. Doctor Who, we're looking at you.
only to an extent.
Yeah. But
the other issue, but toughly, I think about it in episode 4, and I'm going to not remember the name of it, but the girl with the thing in their eye. To me, that episode really probably is the best episode so far.
The third and the fourth episodes were much, much better than the second one and the fifth one.
Much, much better. And I think the issue there, and the pilot was just all squeeze. So, just give it up, folks. But the issue there in episode 4, and I'm echoing. Okay. But in episode 4, that was it. We found a spy. It's not a double agent spy like we thought. We're going to bring him in so we can figure out what the hell's going on. And by the way, there's a big bad that we don't know about.
Did anybody get any of that?
No.
There's a spy that things are going on and things are happening that spies are spying.
Yeah.
Was the weird thing to me because of the echo, or you didn't get it because I didn't make enough sense?
Yes.
Yes.
What were you saying, JJ?
No, more the echo.
You made more sense than episode two. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
The weird thing that gets me about S.H.I.E.L.D., and I admit I have only seen the first two episodes, which kind of, for someone who is as big a Marvel dork as I am, I mean, that kind of says something. But the thing that gets me is for a company that has gone as far out as to hire America's favorite drug addict to pay to like base a company on them. Because, I mean, this whole company kind of rides on Robert Downey Jr.'s back. And
oh, I thought you were talking about Robert Redford.
I was wondering who you were talking about, but keep going. Okay.
But they base the whole company on him. And now they have a show that feels like it could easily cross over with the A-Team.
No, I said Murder, She Wrote.
That one's
true. That's Universal, so it can't happen.
I think it would be much better.
But it has that. It's like, come on. Where do they get the art directors? Where do they get the cinematographers? I mean,
okay, first of all, Rox, remember, they are going to spend what they need to spend and not a dime more on this one.
Well, but
because,
see, here's the other piece of it. Here's the other piece of it is that, and I mentioned this over the weekend, is that what I figured out, the reason why I think they're incrementally getting better, except for this last episode, which I think stumbled a little bit, is that they talk about in the Avengers bonus disc that came, the Target exclusive disc, that they went to school on these studios when Marvel was partnered with these studios. And they were basically doing all the legwork, and they said, you know, why don't we just be a studio? Because we've know how to do it. And they are now under the Disney umbrella. They did not go to school on television. Instead, their two sources for learning how to do television are Disney and ABC.
Well,
neither
not
of which
best teachers.
Yeah, not
best teachers.
Yeah, not FX, not AMA, not AMC, not HBO, none of that. It's just so they're trying to figure it out. I think part of the problem is for the tone of the overall Marvel, because this is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is that it's not cinematic. And that if you compare this, not even from a budget standpoint, but if you hold this up against Captain America trailer, it's like they're in a different fucking universe. It's like, well, this is the thrift store Marvel Cinematic Universe that was done by people using Super 8 cameras. I mean,
well, I think that's a little, which I think that's a little
realistic.
I don't think it's a fair comparison. No, I don't think it's a fair comparison.
I think she was calling you little.
Talking about making a 42-minute show every week for 22 weeks versus something that you can rewrite, you know, for 6 months and then while filming do it. And then, by the way, you've got enough money to bring people back because they did do refilming on Captain America. They did do refilming on Thor.
No, I understand that.
You can bring them back for that. And you can't do that on this kind of a thing. So I don't know that you can compare them that way.
Well, I disagree. And there's two words for that. The Wire. I mean, you can have quality television.
Okay.
No, you can basically say, hey, let's plot an entire season and make it awesome before we pull the trigger on it. You can do that because I've seen it done. You know, it's only
right.
When
you've seen it done by people who had it written for 7 years before it finally got picked up by FX. And they got picked up by a network. And they got picked
wait,
up
what are we
by
talking about?
Network.
All right. Okay. We'll go even further back.
HBO.
All right. How many channels? How many channels did Babylon 5 have?
7 did it for HBO.
What?
I was answering Lee's question. There were a lot of questions just then.
Sorry, but Babylon.
What was the fastest lane running animal?
It was on what? TBS, Sci-Fi.
Actually, it was on its own syndication network.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Totally syndicated. Babylon 5 was syndicated. It just kind of get whoever.
I know, but they. I know, but they.
Oh hell!
They,
what was the show? It was
they
partnered
ran
with?
The whole gamut of like.
Oh, wasn't that Tech
on?
War?
Oh
yeah.
That was with William
yes,
Shatner's
it was.
Tech
yes.
War.
Yes, it was
had a
with
deficit going in.
With the great Greg, whatever the hell he is. Yes, oh, there shit. We go. Yes.
How do I know this?
Because
nerds, somehow we find these weird information.
Stays with us forever.
Yeah.
I think the smell of anal glands that does.
Oh God, no, let's not do that.
Ew. But I think one of the things that really stuck out with me was the episode with the chick with the bionic eye. Was that when they were looking through her feed and they were seeing themselves, that took way too long for them to figure out. That took me out completely. It's stuff like that where it's like those little cute little tricks that you would use like in a normal TV show. And you can't, you know, there's a level of quality here that, you know, they've established with the Marvel movies. They've got to at least come kind of close. I know it's still TV, but still of just them doing stupid shit so the audience can feel like they're smart.
Well, let me give you the other stupid shit in that episode, which pisses me off to no end. And Tuffley and I went off on it. And then Kim was like, you guys are being mean, which is, look, I understand that it is hard to hit the broadside of a barn with a handgun. I have actually shot handguns. It's not easy. Okay. But I will tell you right now, as bad as I am, the safety versus the clip eject are so fucking different.
And
you would have
and
to
also,
be a goddamn
moron. Wasn't she carrying a Glock?
Yeah.
Glocks don't have safeties.
Not sure that's accurate.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
All guns.
The way they're designed is like they have a harder pull. That's like an internal safety, but they don't have like a switch.
I think they do.
Fact checking going on. Prepare for Echo. Preparing for Echo.
I don't know, but I don't know if it's a Glock or what. Whatever damn gun she's using, you don't. There is a
Well, that's what I mean. Doing something so stupid to get the show along. You've talked about this, Widge, where you've had characters just to get the plot going or have something to happen. You have to have the character do something incredibly stupid and just.
Scott is correct. Glocks do not have safety.
Now that's assuming. I mean, I saw it.
That's first of all, there's at least two things wrong with that sentence.
That Scott is right.
Which sentence? There's been a lot of sentences.
So hang on. Let's look at this from a logical perspective. Scott has failed in biology twice this evening, majorly, yet knows that there isn't a safety on a gun. I'm just saying.
Well, that's...
Man has talked about peace.
There is a small lever peace. Just forward of the trigger, on the trigger itself, that is an external safety. But there is no, like, safety switch on it. You are correct. Scott?
That's from Scott's time in Mozambique.
This hurts me to say. You're correct.
Scott's like a violent savant.
Scott C. Violent savant. Coming this fall on FX.
Speaking of tech war, Widge.
Oh, God, no.
How the hell are we talking about tech war?
How's Breaking Bad going for you?
I have not made any progress.
Oh, okay. So what are you still in, like, episode 3?
No. Episode, like, 5 or something.
You said 5.
Okay. Yeah. I think
it's
5.
It's hard to like people about meth, isn't it?
No, not necessarily that. It's just, it was a character thing, like I mentioned. I've been busy trying to keep up with, you know, Walking Dead, Boardwalk Empire, Blacklist.
No, Walking Dead.
I have a confession. I have not watched any of that.
Oh, damn it. All right.
Well,
I don't. Here's the thing. Here's the caveat. I don't care.
How about Gravity?
Oh, okay.
But wait a minute. So let me just ask this. Uh-huh. Let me just bring this up about one of the Walking Dead fourth season episodes. Is that I wanted to put this question to someone that I know has had to defend an abandoned prison from outside sinister forces out to do them harm. And so that's why I wanted to say, Rox, when you've been in an abandoned prison and you've been defending it against sinister outside forces out to do you harm, Is there at any point where you would not post a guard?
Oh, my God. You know, people really should find my books. And that's the first clue. You need to find the books I have written to help you with these situations.
See, this is what I'm talking about. People doing stupid shit just to make...
I'm telling you, if you just watch the episodes of Spaz House, this would all be freaking explained.
And you know what? Those were after school specials.
Right.
Oh, shit.
So I would say, dear listeners, go and find, there's a particular book by Rox. It's called Post a Fucking Guard. It was from 1988, I believe, but it was revised.
I believe Christian McNichol was in that.
In 1993.
Didn't they have a guard, but they were too busy screwing each other to actually be guarding?
It wasn't clear.
Yeah,
they were outside.
Screwing each other or what?
Hang on. They basically, it was not clear if they were actually being tasked with being a guard for the outside. That was one of the things. There doesn't appear to be any effective guard patrol going on outside, nor
well,
is there.
We figured that out from the end of last season.
Well, but my main concern is that inside, I don't care if you're inside behind locked doors. First of all, if you're sleeping in a cell, close the fucking door. And secondly, I don't care where you are. Have someone stay up and keep watch. It doesn't matter how safe you think you are. I'm sorry. Zombie apocalypse on line two. It's a fucking zombie apocalypse happening. Post a fucking guard.
When did the phone start ringing in the prison again?
There are no phones ringing. Sorry. Omega Man. Wrong.
That was Lori. It's fine.
Well, wait a minute. Are they sleeping outside?
They're not.
Were there zombies? Oh, okay.
They were in a town. They're at least on the second floor. They might have been on a tower. I couldn't quite figure that out.
They're in the tower.
Okay. But they were screwing around out there, so...
Well, you see them the next morning. So I don't know if they're... If they're
waking
they were,
up.
They are young. They could have been screwing all night, you know. Who knows?
Can anyone tell them they're wrong? Well, I mean, love is a battlefield, after all.
Well, that's true.
And they are young.
They are young. Heartache to heartache, they say. I mean, they say. So you have to take their word for it. Sorry. Anyway, so that was...
Does anybody want to do the dance right now?
I
so,
do.
Okay, here's my question. Other than that...
Kidlet does. Kidlet wants to do the slow dance.
I stopped watching because I was kind of tired of seeing dirty people.
Well, but, I mean...
There's only so many dirty people you can see at one time.
All right, no, okay, okay. You know what? There was the scene...
There are lots of scenes, Rox.
Well, they're not going to use the shower.
They usually follow each other.
No. There was a scene I saw, and I'm like,
"Nice tuffling.
Why is he doing it that way?" He went when Rick went out to the main area, and he's like using a shovel to the ground to scrabble some land or growing crap, and I'm like, "You couldn't have stole a backhoe, really?" You're gonna
Rick. Well, when did you watch Ground Force? Don't you learn nothing, man?
But
to be fair, when you don't have a lot of petrol lying around,
you do.
Well, you have enough to burn it.
It's the way these people do not organize themselves. Okay,
well,
what these people have failed, was to look back at small indigenous tribes on how well they work together. There's not one sociology person in this group or somebody that remembers sixth grade social studies that remembers we all need to work together, and it just fails.
Rox, to be fair, No, hang on. There is fair because this is set in Georgia, and I don't know about Georgia. But, I mean, when it came to social studies in Alabama, we were lucky to be social, much less studying anything. I mean...
Although, is it Michonne from New York?
Yes. She would have had social studies. We had social studies. I'm from New York.
I believe they had social studies in New York.
We had social studies.
But
I want that
say,
as a cue I want that as a list in the show notes. We have
although technically you also got Lou Reed records, so
yeah.
But
that was included in your social. That was included in your social studies class. Was the Velvet Underground's catalog?
To be fair, Rox.
It's no fair.
Scott Wilson's character, who I can't remember, Herschel. He at least has some knowledge of stuff.
Well, because he's a doctor or a veterinarian.
He's a vet and a farmer. So,
but
I mean,
yeah, he knew what, you know, the whole community. I mean, he had to jump on board because he was willing to remember in the comics being different. He stayed on his farm.
He wants to be more insular. Does he have to lose before anyone actually bothers to listen to anything he's saying?
He's a crazy old man who drinks.
He's a crazy old man. Just let him lose another foot. It's fine.
But I think so far I have been happy with where the fourth season is going because, well, here's why. I like the notion of, holy shit, flu. To me, it's like one of the things I remember most about, like, The Stand was the idea that normal shit that we take for granted that we can deal with will kill your ass. And there's a bit in Stephen King's The Stand where they are trying, using medical textbooks, to give someone an appendectomy because they have no other option.
Oh, yeah.
And they die. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like, holy shit. So the fact that they're having to deal with flu, which is very realistic, that they're, you know, flu would show up and kick your ass in this scenario. I like that. I also like that we finally got a Tyrese. That's Tyrese.
Yeah.
We had Hammer Time.
I think it's very interesting, though. They didn't broach the flu thing in the comics, did they? This is new.
No, this is new.
I thought was a novel turn on it, too.
This most recent episode was written by Kirkman. So.
Yeah.
Now, was it because in the comic the CDC is still around and they can handle the flu, or is it?
In the comic, there is no CDC because Kirkman didn't know that the CDC was located in Atlanta.
So it could still be around then.
It could potentially be around, but probably is an actual CDC as opposed to a theater like it is in the Walking Dead cinematic universe.
You know, maybe it is actually in the basement of the Cop Energy Center. Who the hell knows?
That's true. I mean, but you know, based on budget cuts, we've had to move the CDC to the basement of the Cop Energy Center.
I don't know. I knocked on some of those walls of the CDC.
I could be getting discounts. That's not.
They seem to be like flats than actual walls. So I'm curious as to whether or not that was really.
The CDC is actually located at Area 52. So, but anyway,
actually,
no,
just catty quarter
was at the bar. Actually,
I was happy to see the Tyrese Rick fight, which is in a different context, but still the same basic idea. And they did Hammer Time, which made me very, very happy.
Yeah.
And I also like the turn that they've done where they've kind of done the murder mystery, but not really.
Yeah, kind of. Although the one in the comic was great. And
the one in the comic is really good, but they couldn't do that one.
Well, they could some version of it, but I almost think that the fact that they did the fake on it, the fake out, with what's his face, Colonel Sanders guy.
Yeah.
Was almost worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
Because anyone who read the comic was going, oh shit, we're going down that road. Blam! No, we're not. I appreciate that. But so far I am liking it, and I like the fact that what's his face? Gilliard, is it Lance or Lawrence? I forget, from The Wire. Who's in that playing the doctor, another doctor.
Yeah.
I like the fact he's in that too, and I like there's a lot of stuff for people to do. And I like the fact that Tyrese is waking the fuck up, and I like the fact that they didn't do a long drawn out thing of, you know, Rick trying to beat his plowshares into swords.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
I also like the fact that they actually made Rick work like a detective, which was fun.
That was nice. That was indeed nice.
After, you know, two series of Rick not having a clue on anything, that was nice to see him actually use the brain.
So, No, I'm.
All right. How's this Psycho Kid?
Better, but still iffy, and realistically so, I think.
Uh huh.
I mean, I like, as we discussed in the last season, I sort of like the idea that instead of being a fucking brat all the time, they actually made it realistic in that after the whole thing at the end of season
three,
season two, where he got What's-His-Face killed, that he wised the fuck up, right?
Right.
Yeah. Where he ends up being killed, yeah.
And like I said, the thing that I loved was watching that little thing where in the background he was like standing guard on the door and like, you know, people came through, he shut the door, he made it was secure. It's a small little thing. They didn't draw attention to it, but it was a wonderful way of going, he is trying to take his shit seriously now.
Okay, like the most sensible people on this show right now is Carl, Herschel, and Daryl. How the hell does that work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Possibly, if you look at it, depending on how you look at it, possibly Carol. But
well, now you saw where they've been renewed. They just got renewed like today for a fifth season.
Well, they kind of had to though, because they already announced the spinoff. So
now, what's the spinoff? Remind me of the spinoff.
What's first?
Huh?
It's the West Coast one, right?
Have they said what it was? Was it West Coast?
They haven't actually said what it's going to be yet, but it is that they are.
But they'll have the Harlem Globetrotters.
The spinoff is happening.
See, you know, but do they also go up against Master Pandemonium? Nobody? Never mind. So I, like I said, I almost wish they would do, they would do like a UK version, because to me that would be fascinating in that, oh, here's a country in which there are no guns. Good luck.
Oh yeah, but wouldn't didn't that they sort of called... do that with Survivors?
What's
or
that?
Dead Set?
Didn't they sort of do that with Survivors?
Well, yeah. AJ, pretty much anytime you put the name Charlie Brooker on anything, that sort of takes it into a completely different realm that can't be compared to anything else.
Well, no, they did Dead Set, but there was also a show called Survivors that they did where something very similar to a not a zombie outbreak, but a disease happened.
I actually did a post on the site about it where I was talking about the much forgotten Clive Barker co-written Night of the Living Dead London, in which it focused on the royal family.
Yeah.
You remember that, Rob? That was fucked.
Yeah, I don't think I thought about that in years.
Yeah, but it was...
Is that the one where the Archbishop of Canterbury picks up some street trade or something?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's so creepy.
But it's... Yeah, but I just... I like
the
idea of...
I wonder why I remember that.
I like the idea of setting it someplace completely different so that you can do something completely different. As opposed to... You know, if you do it on the West Coast, I mean... What do you have besides zombies plus a greater chance of earthquakes?
Zombies plus surfing.
Well, you got more.
They've already done that.
If they do it up north, they got a lot more urban space, non-urban space, and they've got like they could play more with the dynamics a little bit of people because everybody's on to the teeth in the Pacific Northwest. So it could be a whole new dynamic with that. But
with donuts.
I mean, JJ owns a howitzer.
Zombies get scared or get sad when it rains.
Can I borrow it?
You know what destroys the zombies in the Pacific Northwest? The overwhelming depression.
So Tuffley, here's my question for you. Is when do you see Walking Dead ending? I mean, at least the TV series.
You know, I think, 2 years ago I predicted season 4?
Yeah, I remember that.
I think, 2 years ago I predicted season 4. Here's the thing, and I saw a really, really good article about this. I think it was the AV Club that has this, I think the AV Club did something about AMC just recently, where they had said basically at this point, they could basically slow The Walking Dead down and milk it for all it's worth.
Yeah.
And let it just run forever. Well, if it's getting 17 million now.
Mm.
If it's drawing 17 million now,
Yeah.
I mean, even in a decline, it still does better than anything on Sunday, anything else on Sunday night. Honestly.
Yeah.
So if they let this go, if they, because here's the other thing that I think they've also noted is that Walking Dead is already more profitable to AMC than the entire runs of Breaking Bad and Mad Men.
Wow.
Period. Well, because they own it.
Oh.
They own the television show as opposed to Sony distributed Breaking Bad.
Right.
And they don't really own the rights to Mad Men, even though it is Lionsgate. But they don't really own the rights to Mad Men either because they split those. But the television show, they own outright.
Well, and you could pull a Boardwalk Empire and just shift your cast slowly in and out.
Yeah.
And just keep running with it as long as you want.
Yeah.
I mean, you could even lose Rick in the TV show, and as long as you're smart about it, you could keep going.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Just rotate everybody. Well, okay, then you bring up, like, Game of Thrones.
Right.
Because it's the long game type of thing.
Yeah. And the other thing is, part of the reason – this is a lot of speculation, but part of the reason that Mad Men got stretched for another year.
That was stupid.
And you get this Walking Dead spinoff is due to the fact that AMC really doesn't have a development slate beyond the Walking Dead spinoff, and they don't. Right now, Hell on Wheels has just been canceled. The Lenny Bruce show, I believe, is canceled. The Killing is canceled. So basically,
now this is stuff that they've developed, or other.
Technically, Mad Men was not developed by AMC. It was developed by I believe Chase originally tried to sell it to HBO.
Well, but I mean, that's the question: is if are they canceling them to save money because they don't own them like they do Walking Dead?
No, they're canceling them because they're not doing well.
Oh.
They're not doing well ratings wise. Hell on Wheels, they gave what, 3 years to?
Was it three?
It was maybe three. Yeah. And I think I mentioned at the time I was a little surprised when I saw the ad that it was coming back. That Hell on Wheels was actually coming back for the season that just aired. So, because I thought they canceled it last year. But it was a really good article that goes into all of the people that had developed Breaking Bad and Mad Men, the people responsible for bringing those scripts in. Am I the only one getting the echo?
No, I think we're all getting it. It's just you're the one talking.
We're in the drive-in.
Oh.
The mind trap.
Make sure you don't drive off. Take the speaker off your window first. I always hate that.
Caller, can you move away from your radio as you're talking?
Welcome to the Kingdom of Nye.
I think it's gone.
Well, see, it already stopped.
There you go.
That's what did it. You can do that again if it happens. But the article went into, they had a development, sort of a bake-off. Where they had people basically come in and develop pitches and compete against one another to get AMC to take their show. None of those passed. And they passed on House of Cards because they wouldn't go ahead and greenlight the season. They passed on House of Cards because they wouldn't just give Fincher and Kevin Spacey, go do your show. Netflix, that was what they insisted on doing that, and Netflix took them up on it. So AMC's development slate is a little screwed. So that's why you get Mad Men extended for another year. Although the other side of the Mad Men extension for another year is that the final season of Mad Men is not an award possible award contention with the final season of Breaking Bad, which would be a problem. Because, you know, AMC would like to prolong their award run a little longer, if at all possible. But Because Mad Men hasn't gotten anything since the first season. It's possible that in its last season, it's going to get a lot. Possibly.
Yeah.
Right.
And they were not – I don't think the Breaking Bad win was almost unexpected this year. But it will definitely – it's probably assured that at least it's going to get best drama next year at this rate. I think from the network standpoint, they didn't want to put the last season of Mad Men in contention. And plus, I think a lot of people have outs on that show right now. A lot of the actors, because some of the actors weren't – some of the contracts for the actors weren't locked in until earlier this year for some of the key people on the show.
Aren't they doing a Breaking Bad spinoff?
Yeah, Better Ask Saul. Yeah, they're doing that.
So I prefer to think of it as a sequel to Mr. Show, personally.
Yeah, they're doing. Yeah, they should get Dave Cross for that. That'd be awesome.
I'm telling you, somebody just needs to do Murder, He Wrote, and it would be awesome.
I'll get Dave Cross for that.
It'll be produced by CBS.
Whatever works.
And he'll have to wear vest sweaters. Oh, and and all the guests would be, unlike Murder, She Wrote, were people from, what, the 50s, 60s that she knew? It'll be like the 80s. We'll bring back, you know, TV.
Jimmy stars. Walker.
Jimmy Walker will on.
Well, like Cosette said, we need to do the crossover. So you'd have Tom Selleck reprise Magnum. You'd have the Simon and Simon guys come back and be in an episode. That kind of thing.
How was that popular? I never watched Simon and Simon.
Simon was really popular in the South.
Who watched it?
It's huge.
Did you watch Lee? Lee, did you like?
No, I.
You didn't like Gerald McRae or whatever?
I think it came on at like 10 o'clock, so I was already asleep.
Well, to be fair, that was back in the day.
Are you sure? Wait a minute. When did the show for Mark Harmon come on? Was that 9? So you could stay up till 10?
Oh, the old Mark Harmon, like St. Elsewhere? I wasn't allowed to watch it. I wasn't allowed to watch St. Elsewhere for years.
Really?
That was too adult. Oh, yeah.
But that's okay because Mark Harmon was all in Timmy Westfall's mind. It's okay.
That's right. Remember, he did ruin my childhood. That's why I couldn't.
That explains a lot.
The kid from the Wilford Brimley show. That's what that was.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Wilford Brimley and Shannon Doherty. There you go. That is free up. That'll make you imagine a hospital.
Why you do that things to us? Why, Tuffles? Tuffles, why? Why you do that? That's just me.
Things I was forced to watch at my grandparents' house.
Okay.
Not that one. No.
The show that I could never understand how it lasted so long was The Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, I did get to watch that show, and I love that show. But now when I try to watch it, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Well, that was proof of the eventual CBS formula of old people leaving the television on.
I guess so.
Yeah. Then Full House. And how did those Olsen girls make a fortune where – what's that Canadian – look at that one Canadian guy. Can't get a job.
Rick Moranis.
Dave Coulier?
Yeah, Dave Thomas. Dave Coulier can't get a job. Shit.
I don't know if you've heard
how
this.
How did they get money?
With Alanis Morissette. So we have no idea how that turned out.
He was, for a while, the voice of Scooby-Doo.
I think he still is.
He might be.
How did those two girls get a fortune?
They actually had to rip them off.
Yeah, they had parents.
They had a small fortune before they even started doing the show. I mean, their parents were marginally well off.
And do you remember that they? I mean, this was one that early on with those two cuties. I mean, they were in everything that there could be in, and they also started a lot of the look at our kids' apparel and the other things that jumped in with it. So I mean, early on, basically, when they were old enough to be cute.
They got the Frankie Muniz contract where you make a lot of money at a young age and invest the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And then step to one side and let your younger sibling become an actual actress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go figure. So here's my question. Has someone done a Scarecrow and Mrs. King thing where it's the original series mashed up with Cillian Murphy as the Scarecrow from the Dark Knight series? And if not, why not?
That would be great.
Because I'm sure NBC is thinking about it. Wayne.
I want to see Mrs. I want to see Mrs.
They're
King.
They're way to develop it.
I want to see her take some fear gas in the face. That's what I want.
That's on the development slate with Remington Steele and Murder, She Wrote. Just wait.
Well, the problem is they're
going to announce that shit.
It was actually the Scarecrow and Mrs. King, but it was Cillian Murphy with Coretta Scott King, and the pilot didn't really work.
Now, wow. You could do the Scarecrow and Miss King, so it'd be Billie Jean King.
I'd watch it. No, come on, Remington Steele and Scarecrow.
Wasn't that the cover for I Spy that there were tennis players?
Yes.
Bill Cosby was the tennis player. And,
yes.
Or it could be...
That's the I Spy reboot, and I think they already did that.
Yeah, it could be the Scarecrow and Mrs. King, but Mrs. King is Don King in drag.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, please.
I love America.
Why you do that? Why you do that, Rob?
I don't know.
It's mean.
13.
Oh, God. So,
well, you know I love you, even though your son has horrible ties.
It's okay. He's listening to good music, so.
Hang on. Yeah. You can't. He's 14. You can't really get him on his tie sense yet.
No.
That's unfair.
I'm just impressed.
I'll mess her up.
I'm just impressed that at the age of 14, he's actually eating Thai. So, I mean, you know, more power to him.
Well, that is true.
He does enjoy Thai.
And Thai coffee is fantastic.
Ooh, pad Thai. Oh, he likes
Thai coffee is good. Thai coffee. When I get off this podcast, I'm going to make some Thai coffee.
When I get off the podcast, I'm going to a movie.
What are you going to go see?
It's still early there.
Oh my gosh. Okay, hold on. I went and saw Escape from Tomorrow.
Oh. How was it?
That, you know, the movie that they filmed.
Oh, the Disney one. Yeah, Rocks. What's the 50 words or less on this? They shot it surreptitiously.
With some green screen thing going on. So the film quality is, you know, the Steadicam work is pretty good. Once it ended, somebody brought up Eraserhead. And I was going to do like a walk homer because the thing is right around the corner from my house. And I'm like, and I had to think about it. I'm like, it would be cool if it became cult status, but I don't think it's quite there. Like, you know, Slacker being a cult movie or Clerks being a cult film or Eraserhead. It wanted to be, but it kind of fell on almost like an amateurish type, you know, using actors and stuff.
They did that on purpose, not using...
I think it was more about the aesthetic of, hey...
It was the aesthetic that we... here's the thing. You're filming in Disney. You had to have, to have regular looking people. I mean, I will say this. I mean, it's, you know, as somebody who follows French films, to me, it kind of, what was Catherine Deneuve's first film where she plays that woman? She's in a room. She's supposed to be a hairdresser, but she's going insane, Rob. You know what one I'm talking about?
Yeah, not Umbrellas of Cherbourg.
No. I think Tuffley's right.
Is it really called Blow Dry?
I don't know. Anyway, it's about somebody who's kind of losing his mind. So it has that quality. It has the quality of using regular people like a French film. And yes, you're watching it because it's Disney. First off, it's like you're watching going, ooh, how did they? Because they were filming in the rides.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, it kind of falls upon sort of this strange, you know, kind of we're trying to have a story too. It just, it, eventually I was going to give it like 3 cups, but no, it's going to be less, you know, just because to me, even a bad film can still be a good cult film. And this is not it. So if you're going to watch it, rent it.
So JJ, what movie were you going to go see?
The new Carrie.
Oh.
Yeah.
That might be slightly better than the Disney film.
Yeah.
Now, what I would love to see would be if you take the series of UK comedies and do Carry On Carrie, I think that'd be great.
Oh. William Hartnell could be in that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or David Bradley playing William Hartnell.
David Bradley, yeah.
So.
See, now we can do like a Carry On reboots now.
Big Rocks.
Carry On Our Wayward Son.
I was just about to say that.
Way to be faster, Rocks. Way to be faster. You get points. Thank you.
Yes, but you were faster than
I think
Kansas,
I'm coming pretty
so...
good.
Yeah.
What, Rob?
Was it Rush Twilight against. Girls or was it Catherine?
I'm sorry.
Or was it neither? The Catherine and New thing. It's driving me nuts now.
Oh, I'll IMDb it.
Yes, I started writing down Catherine and New movies. I could remember it.
I think Widge is doing. He's fast because he does this all day long. Catherine Deneuve.
He looks up Catherine
like
Deneuve films.
First films. Yeah, he looks up her films all the time.
No, wait a minute. What are you looking for?
He can't remember
Catherine Deneuve.
Yeah.
All right,
her
what
first
was
film.
Her, like first film.
Not Belle du Jour.
No, first film. Was, I think Last Girls, which is I think either 65 or 67.
Seven.
Scott's already on IMDb, guys.
But Twilight Girls is one with girls in it. What else? What am I looking for? She's done
girls, girls, girls.
Like a ton of them. You got to go all the way back.
I know.
Hold on.
Was her first film, the Twilight Girls. Then Murder by Two, The
sparkle?
Door Slams, which is a really boring film.
Yeah.
Because not much happens. People get really wound up and slam a door.
Hey,
and
hey, spoilers.
Oh, I know, but Catherine did
Repulsion. It's repulsion.
Well, that I felt that way about watching Catherine Deneuve play a door that gets slammed.
No. This is repulsion.
No, she just accidentally walked into it. It was her fault.
When her sister goes on vacation, a young beauty finds herself besieged on all sides by demons of her past.
She's
going insane.
Oh, no, wait. She did have cable. She was watching a Bravo marathon.
It's based during the time, because I went through this, when you had a satellite dish, right after you got the satellite dish, and they encrypted all the channels. So you were lucky if you could watch like a Brazilian football match that you couldn't understand what the hell was going on.
Oh, my God.
What is a shaved? Never mind.
Wait, so bringing up really quick about scrambled TV, okay, who watches the Goldbergs? Really?
I've watched a little bit of it.
Okay.
That's the thing that's on after the thing we all watch on TV.
Yes,
that's right. I haven't watched it.
Okay, so that's why we all watch it.
All right, if anything...
There's such depression afterwards.
The funny bits are like the first 10 minutes. After that, then there's like a moral to the story, whatever. However, there was
who needs morals, says Rocks.
The two brothers are watching scrambled porn in the 80s. Who here? Come on. It's like,
I'll admit it. Hell yes.
You know,
yeah,
it's like,
watched it.
Yep. I'll admit that Lee watched scrambled porn too.
Oh, because
HBO, you got the sound, but they just scrambled the TV and scrambled porn in the 80s.
I just
and it's funny if you watch
kids
the,
ask
always,
your parents.
I just asked my mom for a Playboy.
I'll tell you what, though, I remember
and your mom bought you Playboys.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the free preview weekend of Showtime.
No, she did, but she would not buy us cherry.
The Zeffirelli, Romeo and Juliet. And right when the sex scene popped up, the Showtime bug popped up.
Yeah.
The Showtime bug?
There was no cure for it, Widge.
Can you get inoculated?
I said there was no cure.
Oh.
There is no cure. Yes, there is.
More cowbell.
It's called...
I have a question for Rob.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, why are they letting the Red Sox beat them? That's my question.
Oh, no,
don't even give me Jesus fucking.
You know the Braves.
Oh, no, here
like
you go. Don't
pitch to David fucking Ortiz. Fucking, what?
I can make him go Jesus fucking Christ again. Rob, how about those Carolina Gamecocks?
Hey, I told you that was going to happen.
No, you.
I want money.
Which? Do you
I
know
kept telling
guys
you
about?
That it was going to be tough. I mean,
I don't know.
I thought it was going to be tight at all. I was.
Oh, I bet you didn't think it was going to be tight.
Scott, she's talking about football. I assume this was something you would know about.
Well, if Lee doesn't think football players
yeah,
are tight.
It means something different for her, and that worries me.
So after I swallow, there is a little tingle on my tongue. John.
Oh, David Cloudy.
They're going to blow it. That's just really sad. So, oh, well.
John?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-uh. No. You cannot take other podcasts and put them on. I think that goes.
I have no control over what these things do.
I think we should put that up for a weekend.
I am a slave.
No. I think that should be a weekend justice vote. Can
nope.
John
nope.
take Sam
Who do you think they're going to side with? Let's think this through real quickly.
To be fair.
John?
Yes.
John.
Yes, sir.
I seem to remember at one point you telling me, and I think you mentioned it at the Fun Fest, that the soundboard was completely randomized and that you didn't sometimes always know what you were going to have happen when you pressed the button.
I have no idea what's going to happen.
That's a big fat lie. I have seen that soundboard, and he has them. He actually puts them over there, so he has them at night.
Now,
which night?
Well,
maybe.
He has them at
what?
Night. Whoa.
Yeah, and he
should be
okay. First of all, where's the cameras? Second of all,
I was at your house. You showed me how it worked.
She was a fluffer on set.
The soundboard requires certain things to be in certain ports. That's all I have to say.
Whoa.
Not only is John a slave to the soundboard, he's also a slave to the rhythm.
Yes.
And the rhythm is going to get me.
Damn.
But I'm sorry. This should be a rule. I don't think you should take other podcast and put it on this one. That's just wrong. It's wrong.
So you'd rather have your
so you're making it seem like podcast should
podcast
be
you're in. Like what? You don't make awkward comments on this show?
I make them on this show, and then those that's I make awkward comments all the time, and I don't mean to.
Lee does not want fluffer nutter podcasts.
So wait a minute. So Lee, are you trying to tell me that in the world of Weekend Justice, your tongue does not tingle?
I can't get it out.
I rest my case.
So wait, your tongue only tingles for Dragon Con?
That Whoa. Wasn't even at Dragon Con when we did the tingle thing. And I, that's Whoa. Not the
what?
Point. Oh my God, this is awful.
It's not something I know why we ended up doing so many panels.
I'm going to go eat a pumpkin spice kiss in a minute.
Go on and talk in your mouth, Paul.
John, it's not
hey,
right.
Lee?
It's right.
Hey, Lee.
How about them game guys? Yes.
Hey, I told you it was going to happen. Which one of those seven dwarves are you going to be for Halloween?
Oh, jeez. I think Doc.
Or are you going to be a monster?
I'm not fucking kidding.
I dressed as the cavalry for Halloween. Thank you.
She did. Awesome. It was actually a very, very good costume. It was very nice.
Ha ha.
So you were in the leather cat suit?
No, the cavalry doesn't wear a leather cat suit.
And of indeterminate Asian persuasion?
Well, that part.
Yeah, did you use tape to give yourselves a...
No, Scott. Don't even go any farther in whatever you're about to think about saying. You're going, Julianne, whatever the hell her last name is, the one with the H.
Were we going for biological fail 3 for this evening?
Yeah.
Well, please,
probably. But speaking of Disney, has anybody seen that video of the Pussy. Disney, like, what?
Which one of the many Disney videos, Scott?
I was about.
Was there one with Mickey Mouse? Was it Donald Duck? Goofy?
No, it's a mashup of the Disney. Oh, sorry, Echo. It's a mashup of Chicago and Disney.
You mean the musical?
Now, why in the fuck would I want to listen to that?
Yes, God, it's
all
over.
Good. It's a takeoff on the Sal Bach Tango song, and it's all the evil Disney characters, and they're all doing the song. It's actually pretty damn good, and it looks amazing.
Are you going to do it at a Mickey Faust?
I wish I thought of it, but I think there's like copyright issues.
Okay. I don't know. It
doesn't seem
Escape
to have stopped you guys
tomorrow.
Before.
Disney was very smart about Escape from Tomorrow, though.
Yes.
By not talking
about
it.
Don't talk about it, and therefore you're not giving them any publicity on it.
This is true. You know what? And that has worked in, I think, because it only played at a small – it's only playing at very small venues. And
although,
it's only,
you know what?
It's on VOD as well, obviously.
You know where you can buy it, Rox? You can buy it on iTunes.
Can you buy it on Amazon? Can you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon?
God.
Well, I was just reading where between – the theatrical run and the VOD, it's done about $250,000.
Not bad.
And it had to have cost what? How many times did they need to get into the park to shoot this?
So if they had to go in four times, and it was probably $250,000 right there.
So far, they're just barely breaking even going four times for the park.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be funny? Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because you go, you have to buy a...
It was like they had done it. They really did it over a summer, and it was like once every 2 weeks or something that they went.
So that means they must be Florida residents, and they bought the annual pass.
Oh.
Yeah, because don't Florida residents get a discount?
But wait a minute.
Yeah, we get a discount.
We do, but wasn't it Disneyland? I thought it was Disney World.
I thought it was Disney World because they went Disney to Epcot.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Disney World.
At both. They shot it at both.
Oh, did they?
Oh,
okay.
They shot it at,
Well, do they establish where they are? Do they say Disney World or Disneyland, or do they not?
They
bother?
Don't. They don't say.
They just say Disney.
They make a. They put a disclaimer. Also, they use Siemens, S-I-E-M-E-N. You know, the computer company that they use their name as well, and they're like, we didn't seek their approval from either company.
Now, Siemens is in Orlando.
Yes. So, I don't know.
Siemens.
Actually, Siemens is all over the place, right, Scott?
It's all over. It gets all over.
Well, according to Paul and Storm.
Well, they are semenologists.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, don't sigh.
It refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
So is everyone slash anyone caught up on Boardwalk Empire?
Oh, I am.
No,
but I don't watch it anyway, so I don't know.
I haven't started season one yet. Can you wait till I get caught up?
All right. What episode is it on to for this season yet?
Seven. I don't know.
Oh, eight. It's on eight.
Episode eight.
Right.
Okay, we're at the point where I should start marathoning it now. Because I usually wait to like have a weekend and then do it. Near the end of the season.
All right. Yeah. I said that, you would already have it on the soundboard. Tuffly says it, nothing.
There you go. All right. Actually, we could talk about this cryptically, I guess.
We could.
Okay. Chalky. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's my question.
Tell me.
I think Dr. whatever his name is.
Narcisse.
My question is, because he is playing to me the quintessential villain. He is a villain. Okay. Capital V. Opposed to all the other who are thugs.
Let me just say that's Rock saying that, folks.
And this is me saying
that's a Rock's approved villainy thing going on.
Okay. Do you believe he sent Buck to do the job correctly or to get rid of him and punish him because he fucked up?
Huh. That is a very good question.
I want to believe, as Narcisse is a capital V villain, that because, yeah, that would work if he was able to get rid of Mr. White. However, Mr. White is a formidable foe, of which we've seen him beat Buck up before. You know, but it was that weird tick in the eye that I'm like, that what's his name caught, but I immediately went, either if it worked, he would still punish Buck somehow. But I think he went to send Buck to his demise.
Either way, he would win.
Yes.
I would be fascinated about that because so far, he seemed very formidable, except when it comes to theatrical direction.
Oh, my God, yeah. That was a bad play. Jeez.
But I really like Jeffrey Wright. I think he is absolutely fascinating.
He is.
What do you think about the revelation of who the weak link is now?
Well, he was a weak link before.
Well, but see, here's the thing that I don't get is that for Eddie, I could almost understand because they set that up, but I'm almost like knowing Nucky.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he just tell him? Because Nucky can, I mean, he's fixed all kinds of shit.
Right.
Better that than, I mean, because, that, I mean, Rox, you know about blackmail more than anyone. It's basically like, you might as well just reveal it immediately because it never ends.
I know, but here's the thing. Here's on how Nucky fails as a crime boss, okay? Don't forget, he's had problems with, all right, the brothers anyway. Oh, you got more stuff than I did. Whatever. From season one, that they set that up. You know, that Nucky came out ahead about all the other ones. So to me, you're talking a man who's very prideful, went to jail for his brother and pretty much got kind of the shit crap. You know, didn't get a really, you know, he had to beg it. You know, he actually had to stand up to Nucky to get where he was now, you know, of being part of the organization. So there's a lot of baggage, you know. Don't forget, here's the thing. I think we're a bunch of people that really don't carry a lot of baggage. Okay. Where, you know, there's a whole host of people out there that just carry baggage. For one reason or another. And some people, if you look at the Harry Potter stuff, you're looking at Snape that carried baggage for like 30 years off of some people that in high school, for God's sake. And that form, you know, so anyway, you're talking, that is his psyche. And, you know, I think he saw that as an attack on his family, his honor, in his own home. It's the only place that Nucky never bought. That is his home. So I think with, you know, him finding out his son might go to jail, it's the only thing he can do to gain his own honor. That's what my thoughts are.
Huh.
So, he's willing to tell.
I just want someone to shoot Knox in the face.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
So.
But it was good to see Melon again.
Yeah.
But I, you know what? I was hoping that Jillian would go on this weird drug addled craze. I hope she doesn't, you know, honestly, I don't see her getting redemption. I don't want her to have redemption.
You'd rather not have her lucid.
That too. I mean, what she has done is reprehensible. As somebody that's trying to, you know, stay afloat and stuff. I mean, she slept with her son. She had this poor guy that kind of looked her. Yeah, she had this guy that kind of looked
her. Well, it is HBO.
Yeah. So, to me, she's...
If you look at HBO, all the top shows have the incest.
Yes,
it's
they do.
It's fun.
So, I don't really want her getting any form of redemption. She's horrible.
I'm sorry, Lee, what?
Nothing.
Well, Rox, I mean,
I want her back on the heroin.
Well,
all I'm saying is don't watch Game of Thrones.
I will say this.
No.
I will say this, Rox. They need to win best makeup because, as I think we mentioned before, when you can make Gretchen Mol look scary,
yeah,
that's impressive. Because Gretchen Mol is very pleasing.
Yeah.
So, but when she shows up and smiles and you go, what? Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Get away.
But I do like the added stuff of bringing Margaret back in. And now she's having to deal with that slime ball Roth
guy. Rothstein.
Rothstein. Yeah. He's a slime ball. Ugh.
But fascinating.
He is fascinating. However, he's not a villain with a capital V, unlike Narcisse.
No, he's an opportunist.
Yeah. I mean, Narcisse, man, he is a freaking villain. He's awesome. Even though I really do like Chalky White. I really
feel Oh, yeah. I will say one of the, after you watch and listen to the Pacific Rim commentary with Guillermo del Toro, go back and watch the Boardwalk Empire commentaries that have Steve Buscemi and Michael Kenneth Williams, who plays Chalky White, on there together. There is a particular, I think it's season 2, where the prostitute gets slashed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear the commentary on that?
No.
Okay. This prostitute gets slashed on her face. And there to talk about what it's really like to get slashed across your face is Michael Kenneth Williams, who is famous for having a scar across his face from where that happened to him. And the director of the episode and Steve Buscemi are on there with him, and you can just hear the fucking silence when he's talking about, yeah, when that happened, you know, blade sharp enough, you don't even know that happens. I mean, you don't even feel it. And you can just sense them going, holy fuck.
No, you don't. I lacerated my arm one time in a bike accident.
It's one of those things.
And it went to the bone, and you see bone, and you're like, oh shit, there's bone. It's really weird.
It's one of those things where you have to wonder, were they in fact in the same room when the commentary occurred?
No, I think they were because of the way they were interacting. I think they were. And Scott, so what you're saying is when you see bone, you don't feel anything?
Depends on the bone.
Okay.
It's too late for feelings, Widge. You've hit bone.
It's too late. Yeah, it's too late. Never mind.
And that's another biology minute with Scott.
Biology minute!
Biology!
Oh, she blinded me with science and sulfuric acid, but mostly science.
And semen.
Worms.
What's that?
Nothing. Don't. What? Really? What? You asked that be repeated?
What? No, I didn't hear it at all. I didn't know what I was asking to be.
The password is semen.
And there's tonight's.
Yes.
Right.
The best offense is a good bukkake.
True.
And that was Kung Fu Moment with Scott C.
So, Lee, did you see the, there was an article online about watching crazy shows that have, like, that are just totally crazy, and they brought up, Sleepy Hollow. Yeah.
You know,
and I agreed with it because it's like if you make the premise crazy enough, but you have your actors believe in this crazy stuff.
You can buy into them.
You can buy into them. If your characters are likable and the characters believe what they're doing, because you know what? Warehouse 13 did the same thing.
Stargate Atlantis. There are certain.
So the opposite of agent. The opposite of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Then.
Correct.
Okay. So far, but give it a little bit of time. I think the other thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. we didn't get to is so many of the really good writers who we all loved from some of the other shows, like, I don't know, Jane Espenson and many of the others, are doing their own shows now, and they're not going to come back and write for him.
Oh, yeah.
That's sad.
But isn't she at Once Upon a Time, too?
I don't think she is.
Is Jane still at Once Upon a Time?
She is.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay.
Yeah, and I, there are some issues with that show, too.
Well, look,
Once Upon a Time goes along with the same idea of, you made a movie out of Pirates of the Caribbean, The Ride. Really? Really? So,
but can
if we're
going to
talk shows that just weren't off the crazy scale, Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, let's go. Hey,
but Lee, to be fair, that yes. movie kicked ass.
I will agree. I will not say it didn't. Again, though, going back to Rox's point, which is where all of this started, if you got people that are believing it, you're mm-hmm. there. You're there. And well, yeah. I lived Sparrow, so yeah.
Well, I think in terms of Sleepy Hollow, I think what we are talking about, a consistent tone really helps.
Yeah. Yes.
A consistent tone, you can forgive a hell of a lot. And in the case of Sleepy Hollow, you almost have to. You have to almost, you just have to, okay, this is what this show is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sleepy
Hollow you don't have the sudden, we're shifting into the serious X-Files episode. No, this is balls crazy.
Although,
it is balls to the walls crazy. And I think the other thing is, too, it is one of those shows that you're just like, okay, I got to turn my little history head off. I got to turn everything off.
Oh, yeah.
Just for what it is.
Yes.
Turn all the shit off.
This is entertainment in no purer form.
Well, but see, can I ask a question? And I don't know who this is a question for. Maybe Tuffley, you can help me with this.
Okay.
But knowing that we're looking for when does The Walking Dead end, here's what I really want to see end. I want to see the, okay, it's time for the episode to wrap up. It's time to play a song and do a montage. When does that end, Tuffley?
Oh, my God. If Sons of Anarchy does that one more time.
Does Sarah McLachlan still have a recording career?
Every not even that, John.
Because
Blacklist,
gonna,
every episode of the Blacklist has done that, I think.
Because I believe she's going to have to. I believe Sarah McLachlan's going to have to retire before that happens.
It's not. You know what? I've never heard a Sarah McLachlan song doing that. I have heard the one time I was like, okay, I'll allow it, was because it was Clutch and it was on The Walking Dead and it was so fucking appropriate that I was like, okay, that works. But for the most part, it's like. We picked this song because it sort of sounds like the somewhere in the same area code as the emotional stress that we're trying to put on this episode.
When you bring that up, I will say I did like when they used the I Don't Like Mondays cover from Tori Amos and the West Wing.
Now,
I thought that worked. But
see, the other thing there is, I mean – the thing is, with any of those montage things, as John just said, Sons of Anarchy, I mean, there have been shows that overuse it, oh dear Lord, too many times, and that's when you get tired of it, isn't it? I mean, then you're just like, why are you making your fandom video right now at the end of the last 4 minutes of
well,
your show?
I mean, really,
that's what they're doing.
In defense of Sons of Anarchy, which, by the way, does it every single episode, they do find... Yeah. The right music. They do a very good job of finding the exact right music because they don't go with a lot of unknown artists. Most of the music that you're hearing on there, you haven't heard.
I actually would like to see them do the Tori Amos cover of I Don't Like Mondays for that. Silicon ship inside his head, buddy. There you go.
I don't know.
Speaking of Clutch Widge,
we've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Oh, sure.
It's only been 2.5 hours.
Oh, sure.
2 hours.
All right. Oh, we got Rob back.
Rob's back.
Yes.
Okay.
He had to go beat a Red Sox.
I was about to say.
Whoa.
Wow. That's.
That's.
All I know is I'd say that it would have been on the sound.
I think that should be on the soundboard, Lee. You saying that what you just said should have been on the soundboard.
Do y'all hear that purring? That's the kitten.
Pussy.
There you go. All right, so we'll do... And based on the sound of a vibrating vagina, we will do introductions. And we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home.
Stand by for Weekend Justice.
We're in the hall of Weekend Justice where it echoes like crazy. Oh my god. I'm losing my own space.
I'm not doing anything.
I know you're not doing anything. Anyway, so we're here in the hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Tuffley is here with us. Hi, Tuffley. Tuffley. Tuffley went to go have he has a pico second happening.
Wasn't a pico second. That was just a second. Hi.
Oh, hi. We also have Rox's Spaz House. Hi, Rox.
Happy All Saints Day. Hey, we couldn't do Happy Halloween this year. Why is it? Anyway.
Well, Halloween hasn't happened yet.
By the time this goes up, it's All Saints Day or All Souls Day.
You know, speaking of which, I would kind of like a mashup between Halloween and All Saints. Can somebody make that happen?
Hey, Rox, my heart, it's always Halloween.
I would like to see Michael Myers appear in the Boondock Saints. Nobody?
Okay.
Nobody else?
I'd like to see Michael Myers take out one of the Boondock Saints.
I would like to see Mike Myers and Michael Myers show up in the Boondock Saints together.
But not in the Love Guru sequel. Never make that. No, never.
But, hey, if you think about it, Michael Myers and Mike Myers, who married an axe murderer, makes sense. Anyway.
Oh.
Head, paper, new. Scott C is with us. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Hello. We also have Lee is here. Hi, Lee.
What's up?
Congratulations on still being awake. We also have Rob is with us. Hi, Rob.
What's up?
What's up? We also have JJ is with us. Hello, JJ.
What's up?
And we also have John from the Unique Geek. Hi, John.
That's good shit.
You got it. And this is episode 204 of your Weekend Justice. For those of you who are bagging and boarding them at home, bear in mind that 204 is the number of signatures that John received in 2002 on a petition to make the Jeffersons theme the new national anthem. So that's just a little coincidence there.
Was that RC Cola Wars 2 crossover?
Yes, it was, and I did have the sort of weird hair.
Did you become the Phoenix? That is so awesome.
No, but by the time – I will say this, Tuffley, by the time I got to Phoenix – never mind. what?
So when you got to Phoenix, was it anything
did you
like
steal
by the time
Jean Grey's crystal wedge?
She had a crystal wedge? What the fuck?
What? Stepped on your line, JJ.
Doesn't matter.
Sorry.
Just a public enemy joke. Doesn't matter.
Well, welcome to Weekend
Justice. Fuck the police.
Stepping on lines every day.
Yeah. No, it was a different band.
What? Oh. Oh, God. All right. So where were we? Had we gone through... Oh, someone mentioned this in the melee. Who has seen Gravity?
I have.
Yes.
I have.
Okay. No, okay. So explain... Is it as awesome as everyone seems to think it is?
It is. No.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
It is beautifully shot.
To a point.
Right. I think Rob's calling.
I agree with Rob. I'll agree with Rob on that.
Well, okay, I think we're all going the same way. But yeah. Beautifully shot. I'm dumbfounded at how they did this, and I suppose I could go look it up, but I don't want the mystery broken, really.
Wrote a good part for Sandra Bullock? Is that what you're...
Yes, that's...
Oh, okay.
Well, no, actually, they still didn't. Honestly, I believe anybody could have played that role.
No, she wasn't the first choice. None of the leads were the first choice for the role.
Who was the first choice for that role if it wasn't her?
I don't remember.
Somebody who started filming it and then turned it and then stopped.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember who.
Well, hang on. I'll tell you. Because I looked this up previously. I was just sort of...
But the ending pissed me off, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the ending.
Ending was probably the lowest point of the whole movie. I will agree.
It Galactica, the ending.
Oh, okay. It originally was Angelina Jolie.
Sandra Bullock, better choice in that case.
But then you had, they tested Marion, what is it, Cotillard? How do you say that?
When the lights were in it, so sick of her.
Scarlett Johansson and Blake Lively were up for it.
Scarlett Johansson, maybe.
They did a screen test for Natalie Portman.
Because even though Scarlett Johansson is amazingly gorgeous, she can actually play a regular person fairly well, so.
Mm-hmm. She can. Yeah. And then from there it went to Sandra Bullock. Robert Downey Jr. was originally cast.
That would have been weird. I think Clooney, actually, of the two characters, I think Clooney fit the character that they were writing.
But Clooney doesn't have to try to do that character, though.
That's true.
I mean, I think that's Clooney. Well, neither would Robert Downey Jr.
That's Clooney on autopilot.
Well, I ask how it was because
do
I remember
like that?
Seeing the.
Do you like that? Okay, good.
I remember seeing the trailer and thinking, this has absolutely no appeal to me whatsoever. I mean, I don't understand what the big deal it is. And then seeing it's got like a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
It's got a 97% because of the everything but up to the last 10 minutes. Because it's so beautifully shot. I mean,
it's gorgeously shot. Oh. It's got a good story.
Is it
you have two actors you like.
The pacing on it's really good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Avatar.
You leave
in the
it.
Sense of, oh, it's pretty, but.
Oh, no, no, no. It actually.
No. There's a story.
There is some substance.
Yeah. There is actually a story, and it was a story that Now, is the science wrong? Because
yes.
I had to listen to the two science geeks fucking way home. Yes, the science,
I understand
there are many parts of the science that are wrong, but
comparatively,
it's not for somebody who, unless you are already, you know, like talking about, unless you're an aerospace engineer, it shouldn't fucking bother you. You'll be fine. But yeah, it was beautifully done. I mean, it's a good story. It's not just pretty. It's a good story.
Well, Lee, to be fair, Avatar did have a story. It just wasn't well written.
This one does.
Okay,
and it's well written.
The dialogue was a little meh.
Mm.
But it
she's talking to herself most of the time.
True, and they do explain that too, because of course you have to, at some point you have to wonder why is she talking so much if she's by herself, but you know the whole thing of somebody could be listening type thing.
But which no, really the other thing anything, you but. Say, but you know how you say sometimes with if they would just give me that one sentence, that wouldn't piss me off as much. They gave you that sentence.
Oh, good.
And it also lengthens the ending where there's a certain part where it should have ended and that would have been it and it would have been fine.
And then it frees the slaves.
No, I don't want to talk about what it is because we just haven't seen it yet. But John,
mean it turns out schizophrenia is completely curable?
No, never mind.
I actually, Rob, they could have 5 minutes less of ending, and I would have.
Toughly.
That's kind of what I'm
welcome.
Going for, yeah.
You're
no,
welcome.
Five minutes less of ending, I'd go with
no,
you.
No, I've got it, Toughly. Basically, Sandra Bullock runs out in front of the car and goes, he never gets old. George Clooney never gets any older. He can't be real.
Well, that's actually true.
Well, she does this thing called acting in it, which is kind of surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to give her a certain amount of props because it's probably, I mean, you don't think of her doing physically demanding roles, but it's a physically demanding and exhausting role that she has.
How did they shoot that film?
She was like all alone
in a box.
She was
explaining this. It was on the Daily Show. Literally, it was filmed in a box.
Right.
But were they on the filmed in a box?
It was almost like, actually, if anything, they put her in like isolation.
Was it a cardboard box?
No. Yeah,
was she a man in the box?
Was she a man in the mirror?
But, I mean, did they do any of the vomit comet stuff? Because I was kind of surprised at the weightless feel of it.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking of...
Yeah.
She said, I believe they were originally going to film parts of it on the actual plane, but they just decided to do it in FX.
Okay. Well, yeah. And this is actually, Widge, one of those films, because somebody else had said this, see it in 3D.
And
I was
IMAX.
Like, oh, come on, I can't believe... it's worth it in 3D.
And the pacing goes by, so you're like, wow, it's over? Really? We're done? Which is kind of amazing. Well, now, the other kind of uselessly cool thing that it does do, Ed Harris was in the right stuff, right?
Right.
Ed Harris is in Apollo 13, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Harris is the voice of Mission Control in Gravity.
Nice.
Which thought was nice.
It was very nice because you were just like, you already had that Mission Control voice, especially from Apollo 13. Yeah, Rob, I like that too. I did.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, John can start doing, you know, need coffee in the dark, and, you know, hoping someone can actually hear it. That'd be kind of fun. But, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. They're talking about how the rig that they shot her, they used it for her shots. She was in alone for like up to 10 hours a day. And what this reminds me of, this reminds me of 127 hours, where you'd have Franco in that canyon basically they built this canyon set and he was just in there, and everyone else was outside
kind
of it.
I mean, the best way to describe it to somebody is, do you ever watch any of those NASA landings or any space stuff? And you say, God, and you say to yourself, and we all sort of do, we feel terrible. We always sort of see these NASA footage things, and we go, God, if something went wrong, these people are fucked, right? This is that movie.
Yep.
So there's that.
Yeah.
There is that. And it just three thumbs up across, you know.
I
want to know where that third thumb came from, Lee.
Yeah, I mean,
my husband, my son, and myself, all three of us enjoyed it. And brilliant.
I have two fundamental problems with it. There's one scene with Clooney I don't like, and I don't love the ending, but I'm willing to overlook it because it looks so amazing.
The
one thing that it does do is it sort of, I mean, I don't think I'm not going to say it compares with 2001 because I don't think it's accurate, but if it gets people interested in space again and the whole idea of going to space, then it's done its part, you know?
Shit,
and
it would get me interested in not space.
It also does, yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing I thought was cool about it is in the beginning, they explain, you know, in space, there's no sound. And, you know, even though they get all the other science wrong, you know, it's just kind of cool to see a space movie where we see something blow up, but it's not. There's no explosion sound, you know, and it does sort of create a genuine sense. I mean, I haven't been to a movie in a long time where I felt a genuine sense of like, oh my God, you know, like almost a claustrophobia sense of peril with it, you know, when you go to the movie, because it suckers you. It does use every trick in the book to get you to follow it, but it does it so underhandedly that you're not aware that you're sucked in. You know, and probably the hook is that it's so gorgeous. You're watching it. It's so amazing looking. You see the opening shots, and it's sort of like, holy fuck. And then before you're hooked, because Sandra Bullock is actually acting her ass off. Mm-hmm.
And a fine ass it is.
In it. Yeah.
You can see a lot of her in her underwear. That was fun.
Never bad.
Ah!
Sorry. What? You thought of Sandra Bullock in her underwear?
Sigourney Weaver was in her underwear in Alien.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing.
Oh, yes. But, you know.
Yeah, but the movie would have been better suited for a Sopranos-type ending, I think.
You mean you would rather...
As I said...
With Don't Stop...
John.
You know what I'm talking about, right, Rob?
5 minutes. Rob and I were both saying, cut off 5 minutes of it.
So it's Shawshanked is what you're saying?
No. No, it's not Shawshanked. I don't think it goes as far as Shawshanked.
Bad.
It's not. But if it's not
although it does have some similarities, oddly enough.
Well, but if it's 5 minutes too long, then it's Shawshanked.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Da, da, da.
And speaking of Sopranos, I saw Enough Said, the Gandolfini, Julia Louis.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Man, I felt so sad at the end of that because it's like Gandolfini's in it, and it's so different than Gandolfini does in any of his other movies.
Yeah.
And he's so good in it. And I never was a big fan of Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but she's totally great in it. And Catherine Keener's great in it, too. I mean, it's a really great ensemble film, which is funnier than you think it's going to be. The basic plot is that Julia Louis-Dreyfus starts dating James Gandolfini's character, but she doesn't realize that her new best friend is his ex-wife. And then when she does, wackiness ensues, right? So, it's interesting in that, you know, Gandolfini has a way of being sort of like the charming sort of goofy guy in it rather than the serious guy. And he's kind of like, he makes really funny jokes. He's very sort of affable and kind of almost clumsy. And you're not used to seeing him on screen being so sort of vulnerable and goofy, you know? And I think it showed an amazingly different part of his talent, which sadly we've lost. And it's just, you leave it going, you know, it just sucks, man. The guy was like an amazingly talented, great actor. And this probably would have shed his Sopranos sort of any idea of stereotyping. Or typecasting with the Sopranos probably would have went away with this film. But he's, yeah, he does carry it. It's actually really charming. It's a cute little film. So, but yeah.
Good to know.
I'm behind. I haven't seen a bunch of stuff. Thor is next weekend.
But here's the thing: it's like it seems like it really? Even for the fall, the films have been so-so.
Although 12 Years a Slave may well win the Oscar. So,
Rob, did you see that?
Yeah, it's the front runner. It's a little long. Between Fifth Estate and that, I think Cumberbatch is going to get nominated for something, either supporting or best. I think Chiwetel Ejiofor is going to get nominated for best actor. But everybody's great in it. I mean, it's just the whole cast in it is just, it totally works. And, you know, you go into it with like, oh, this is going to be like really just a depressing 3 hours or whatever, a film. And it's not as long as you'd expect. And it's a little bleak, but it's for what it does and its subject matter. It's a really good film. I mean, it's a hard film to watch and that a lot of people don't want to confront the idea that this happened in our country and the whole baggage, the cultural baggage that goes with it. But it's if you're going to make a movie about the slavery experience that's not Django Unchained, for example, or Roots, you want it to be this one because it's sort of – it's very real. It's very stark, but it's never too heavy-handed, and it's never – it doesn't sort of use any tricks or the dialogue isn't really, you know, preachy. It's very much a well-acted ensemble drama, and – everyone in it is really, really, really amazing. But Cumberbatch is just incredible in it. And yeah, so I mean, the whole cast is great. And you know, Chiwetel Ejiofor is one of the people that was up for Doctor Who. And every movie that guy makes, he just gets better and better and better. And he's not a household name, but he like you'll see him in a movie, and you go, oh, it's that guy. You know, it's the guy from the Firefly movie, or oh, it's the guy from Kinky Boots. Or Hotel Rwanda, but you have to realize he's an amazingly talented actor. So I think it's a breakout for him. And the other guy I think who's had enough really good years of movies is probably Fassbender, and I think at some point they're going to look at him as well for, you know, when they get into Oscar season. But the script doesn't, you know, do anything stupid with dialogue, and it is very, very much, you know, a period film that's good at bringing you into the period and making you feel like you're actually watching that period and not actors in that period, which I think a lot of historical films do now. You sort of just watch it and you don't ever really feel like you're inhabiting that world. But this one really does that, which is also pretty great. So,
and Rox, it looks like the fall schedule, the schedule picks up because you've got Ender's Game this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Then Thor, then you skip a week, and then there's Catching Fire. Then for Thanksgiving, you get Disney's Frozen, plus, hey, exactly what you want for the holidays, Old Boy. Which, if may I say, they have...
Old Boy.
What's that, Rob?
Old Boy? Like the Japanese torture film, Old Boy?
I it's not as torturous to me as Audition, but yeah.
No, okay, yeah.
Yes, the Spike Lee remake, which actually...
I did not know about this, okay.
You did not know? Holy
no.
shit. Okay, so Rob, Spike Lee's directing,
yeah.
Josh Brolin's the guy, Charlton Copley's the bad guy.
Okay.
You also have Elizabeth Olsen is in it, Sam Jackson is in it, and my understanding is to, what was it that Brolin said that he did, what you call it? He went into like isolation for 3 days just to get a slight feeling of what it would be like to basically be in a room for 20 years. And everything I've seen about it goes, holy shit. And I'm just like, oh, I never wanted to see that movie again. And they're going to make me watch some version of it again. So
yeah.
I'm already traumatized. But I'm interested enough to go see it. But yeah, then you skip a week, and then you've got Hobbit. Then next week is Anchorman 2. Then for Christmas, you get Walter Mitty, and they just announced Wolf of Wall Street. So.
Okay. Walter Mitty.
But you forgot about Las Vegas.
You know what? I actually do want to see that, because is there anybody in there that I don't like? No.
Well, this is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be a great, it's a fun rental HBO
Netflix
movie. No, Walter Mitty. I remember the original.
With?
I just don't know that I want to see a remake again.
Well, but Lee, my understanding is they are closer to the original story than the first film was.
Okay.
So they kind of, it still goes off in its own direction. But they don't try to remake the film. They try to go back to the short story and then run with it their own direction.
All right. Then that might...
Because the Danny Kaye version is not that close to the story. Not really.
No,
it's not. So that is true. So.
And that had Boris Karloff in it, though.
In a very good Boris Karloff.
Yes.
But,
hey, new guy, how come we don't hear from you that often?
Sorry. Oh, you didn't mean me.
Because I just got... Oh, wait, why are you not hearing from me tonight? Because you guys are talking about subjects that I'm not that versed on.
Boy, all right,
let's talk WWE.
What do you want to talk about in a few minutes?
Well, he's talking about stuff he's versed on, so he really wants to talk about poetry, obviously. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, you start talking about Danny Kaye, I can talk about Danny Kaye.
Okay.
You know?
Danny Kaye and Public Enemy.
But you realize that none of us have any expertise
Danny
in any
Kaye
of these areas, right?
Danny Kaye not known for having the best reputation off screen. Yeah,
so,
oh my gosh, was he mean to?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So JJ, since you are now the official Weekend Justice Danny Kaye expert, my question would say, and this has really been haunting me for some time, is that if I was going to cast Danny Kaye in a horror movie, which horror movie would I cast him in?
Which Tim Burton film would you cast him in?
What about Fright Night, Peter Vincent?
He'd be
Peter
the author
Vincent,
in Misery.
Ready to dance with the undead.
I think he could have joined the cast of Ghost Story quite nicely.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I know. The Fog. I mean, he's a guy that really needs an ensemble cast. You know, he really does. So I think The Fog would be great. Death Race 2000.
See, I think now what we do is we should digitally insert Danny Kaye into horror movies. I think we should do that.
My God. Yeah, we should insert him in, or insert him into Hammer films.
Yes.
He didn't like to do. He didn't like to sign autographs either. You'd meet him, and he'd be like,
"Really?
No autographs. Handshake is fine." Yeah, but kind of
on him. Damn, he was a dick. Damn it. Oh well. Oh well.
But he made good movies.
He was
so,
just a germaphobe.
Oh my God, he was good.
Yeah.
Well, and Lee also.
They hadn't made hand sanitizer yet.
And Lee Stiller also directs Walter Mitty.
Stiller's not a bad director, actually.
Oh, no. Thunder, friends. Tropic fucking Thunder.
My husband adores Stiller. Zoolander is actually one of his favorites.
Oh, my God. That scene where they're just dancing around throwing, you know, gasoline all over the place. That is, like, my favorite scene out of
if he is in a really, really shitty mood, just pop in Zoolander, go away for about 30 minutes. No matter where it is, it's fine.
And Rob, you know what he executive produced, apparently.
For Old Boy?
No. Submarine.
Oh. For,
oh, did he?
Hold on, one more. I missed that. What?
Submarine.
Submarine, I know, but I heard executive producer and then submarine, and then you cut out.
He executive produced.
That was the end of the sentence. That's why.
Well, John is echoing is the problem. He executive produced the film Submarine.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But by the way, this early recommendation, find the first uncut episode of the new panel show, Was It Something I Said, which has David Mitchell hosting and Richard Ayoade from the IT Crowd is one of the team captains. He absolutely blanks Jimmy Carr for the entire episode. I have never seen that happen before, ever.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. That show is funny as shit.
So did any of you guys see the finale for the IT Crowd?
I have not watched it yet.
I really liked it.
I will have to catch it. Although I did see that Graham Linehan was on the latest QI, which was nice.
Yeah. Well, the night that it aired, he basically came onto Twitter and said, "Oh yeah, this has no American air date. Get it how you got to."
Nice.
So is Hulu not picking it up? Because I know Hulu had series 4.
I know, and Netflix had it too. But I just know what he said, so yeah. I did what he said.
Well, I know what series 4 premiered here as a Hulu exclusive, and then Netflix got it later. So, yeah. Okay.
Good night, Lee.
Good
night, Lee.
Lee, good night.
Good night, everyone.
No stamina.
Good night.
Stand on my ass, man. It's almost 11 o'clock. If Widge were here to put a blanket over me, I could go to sleep.
Lee?
Yes,
I wonder what that's code for.
Burn the tie.
I'm so sorry, Rob. Scott jumped all over your line. What did you say?
Burn the tie.
Burn the... Oh, hush up. Hey, who's Mizu playing this week?
Not anybody well. I don't know. This week. I think this week is...
Because I need them to lose one more game, man. I need
They pretty much got the lead. Even with the loss, they still have the East wrapped up pretty much. So
I need them to lose one SEC game, man. That's all I need.
Yeah, sorry.
They're not playing A&M? Or LSU?
No. Nope. It's next year.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah, we don't, next year we're going to crap because we play Alabama and LSU and all those.
Yeah, and
so you get a hard schedule, you mean?
Yeah. Actually, we played Alabama already. We lost. So.
What'd you say, Lee?
I said, and congratulations to FSU. They're kind of kicking ass too.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Enjoy. I'll enjoy these the rest of this year and next year because that's as long as we will have Jameis. So.
probably. All right.
And if only Oregon would lose, goddammit.
All right. And with that, we should sort of stumble into the foyer of recommendations. So who would like to go first?
I'll go.
Go, Tough Lake.
Well, we did lose Lou Reed this week. Because the entire back catalog of the Velvet Underground, as I mentioned before, comes with a balanced New York education, it does. Many of you might have missed out on that. If you were only going to go with two records, I would say the easy entry points for me, I would probably say Velvet Underground and Nico, which is the first Velvet Underground record. And probably Transformer. And if you desire to have more after those two, great. But if not, if you just have those two, I think you're okay. Yes, but they're the accessible ones. So
you mean you don't want to dive right into Machine Music?
Probably not.
Thank you.
No.
I was just I think that though to really understand. By the way, Neil Gaiman's thing on Lou Reed and The Guardian, everyone has
that
to.
That was an awesome piece. And
oh, I haven't seen that yet.
I believe that is the only Lou Reed piece.
I can send it to you.
Okay,
yeah,
awesome.
It was
thanks.
Great. It was completely great because you totally get Neil Gaiman's comics and completely just OIFU Reed.
Yeah.
And
I believe that's the only Lou Reed interview I've ever read where there wasn't anything snippy going on. So.
Yeah. And. What he said about Metal Machine Music is everybody at least needs to hear it once as a piece of art, not necessarily as an album, but as a piece of art. It's bold, it's audacious, and at the time, nothing like it was being done. So
I was just saying, I just meant stuff you want to buy for entry level.
Yeah.
That's if you don't want to go any farther than that, I can understand. But,
and
you know, if you want to go farther
Bowie
than that.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I would also add, and this way it'll knock off, that way we're not crossing streams on recommendations. I also would throw in Songs for Drella, the album you did with John Cale, all about Andy Warhol.
Yeah, and I was gonna go there. If you wanted to explore a bit more, I would go there as the next kind of jumping off point.
And his Gorillaz track is great.
Yeah.
As well.
And if you want to hurt your ears, listen to the album you did with Metallica.
Yeah, Lulu, we weren't going to bring that up. But
that was like eight editions of the soundboard.
If you just want to self-flagellate.
If you want to torture your neighbor for a couple of hours, if you can't find the new Jay-Z record, throw on Lulu. So.
His edition of The Raven with Willem Dafoe doing The Raven is awesome.
Oh, God, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it just sucks. It was a shitty way to start a Sunday.
It just sucked. The other thing I was going to recommend. Oh, that's all right. The other thing I was going to recommend, throwing it into. You can cheer yourself up though, because Cults have a new record out. It's called Static.
God damn it!
Excellent.
It is fucking fantastic. I love
it
that
is
record.
Excellent. That's good shit.
They're open for the Pixies here.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So that's nice. So, and the other one I was going to recommend is the, obviously, and you're probably going to get this anyway. Most of you who listen to this are probably going to get it anyway. But Reflector from some sort of art house band, we really hope does something called the Arcade Fire. That's out. And it's really, really good. Not as good as the Cults record. The Cults record is way better, but they're okay. So you can pick that up.
I haven't heard the Arcade Fire yet, but I would just like to say again, that Cults record is pretty
good. That Cults record is so amazing. That's a really good record.
And that's
really it. Kim will probably mention this when she pops back in, but because this is the Shield bye week and we don't know when the next one is, God help us all. I'll go ahead and suggest it on her stead because she is a little under the weather this evening. Lego Marvel. Lego Marvel Superheroes. That game is freaking awesome. And the best thing about it is one of the things that I like, characters who fly. Characters who fly, and they have actual items for characters who fly It's kind of fun to fly around as like Thor or Iron Man or Storm. It's actually really, really cool. And it's a fun game. And I should mention because Kim probably would, that Mr. Clark Gregg is actually voicing Coulson throughout the game. So that is pretty cool too. So Lego Marvel Super Heroes.
I think it says something about that game, how well they've marketed it, that it came out basically the same time as a tried and true entry in the Batman series, and I couldn't care less about it. I want that Lego Superheroes game, something fierce.
You know, Paul Dini is not writing that Batman game, and I think that hurts it a bit.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that hurts it a bit, and Hamill's not in it, and all of the people you really liked about that game that were involved in that game and the Arkham games are not really involved in this. I don't even think Rocksteady's developed this one.
No, it's a different company.
It's a different company, different writer, yeah. Different voices. Forget it. I can wait.
To be fair, I watched the New York Comic Con bit where the new guy who is replacing Mark Hamill read the Joker speech from The Killing Joke, and it sounded fucking fantastic. So,
and by the way, that same guy is the guy who voices Hawkeye in the Lego Marvel game, and he's also the voice of Booker DeWitt in the BioShock Infinity.
Oh!
BioShock Infinite.
With the Batman game, though, as long as they – I mean, yes, all the story elements and those are very important, but the thing is with those, Batman games still have the best combat system I've ever played, and they don't reinvent the wheel there, so I may not want to pay full price for it, but it's definitely one of those that eventually I will want to play it just because it is the only Batman simulator we've ever had.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem with games like that have the perfect combat system, because you go back to even something like, you know, every Assassin's Creed game since 2, they've kept trying to complex up the fighting scheme, and it never got any better than it was in 2. It's you know, the it was smooth in 2, and they've just kept adding stuff to it. Black Flag will be mentioned in a later show. So
I hope nothing's happening to Rollins.
Wouldn't that be awesome if you found out one of your descendants was Henry Rollins and you just got to play around with that?
If they ever come out with a Henry Rollins simulator that's about as much fun as playing Batman, I'll do it.
But, those are my recommendations.
Awesome. Thank you, Tuffley. And, JJ, what I would like is have a game from a Johnny Mnemonic game where you could play Henry Rollins grappling with Dolph Lundgren. Simply because – not just that. Henry Rollins playing a scientist – grappling with Dolph Lundgren, who is playing an assassin monk, which was on the top 10 things I never thought I would fucking see in my life, and that movie completely blew that out of the water for me. So,
you know, the other night I watched I was watching on YouTube, and they had like Henry Rollins VJ segments for MTV.
Huh.
Where that 4 seconds where they let Rollins have airtime on the channel. That's hilarious. Go find that.
The other thing that I think could be fun is since Telltale is doing nothing but comic book games right now, if Telltale did a Henry Rollins, Henry and Glenn in Love?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would totally play that.
Oh, God. Wow.
I love Get in the Van, the adventure game. That's awesome.
Wait. What if you combined Get in the Van with Penn and Teller's game Desert Bus?
Ooh.
I know.
Nice.
Think about that. Now stop. All right. Rox, what have you got for us?
Let's see. So TCM has been rounding up the horror all month long. I recently remembered this, but somehow I never watched the entire episode or the whole movie of it, and it's Curse of the Demon, 1957. It is a British film with Dana Andrews, who went on to, I don't know if he won for Best Years of Our Lives or something like that, but he was a staple in the 1950s, and he actually stuck his career out on this really interesting film of the 50s,
where they deal with real Satanists in this film. Well, not real, real, but, you know, if they years before Rosemary's Baby, we'll say. And it's very interesting. The ending, I know the original director wasn't the main production house added the everybody's seen the demon monster picture in monster magazines ever, but he didn't, he wanted to seem amorphous. But the ending is really interesting. The whole thing is actually really good. It's very tight. And for a straight actor playing a horror film that I don't think he's ever been in, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. And that was Curse of the Demon. I think they sold it here, it was called The Night of the Demon. And they cut it. Try to get, American audiences to watch it. If you could find that, I think for you horror fans out there would really enjoy it.
Is that like Godzilla where they put Raymond Burr in cutscenes?
No, I'd almost have to find a cut of what they cut out for the Americans, but not so similar to that. I mean, they
inserted American characters in new scenes.
Yeah, no, this I think they just cut scenes just to make it shorter because they felt Americans had a shorter, attention span.
They didn't like all that talking in their horror movies.
Yeah, all those Brits talking
all about that talking and plot and setup and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
we just want to get to our mindless killing.
That's right. And it's Halloween. I've been reading Ramsey Campbell's Inconsequential Tales. It's a series of his short story works that actually runs from like 1960, 1970, 72, all the way up to, I think, 2000. So it's his short story work. It's this one, it's a little bit with the sticking with the earlier stories. He really does a hard-on pastiche homage to H.P. Lovecraft. The later stories, he kind of finds his own voice as a horror writer. And, for people who just stick closely to American writers, try him and Brian Lumley. They do give a really good different voice to horror that you might not be used to. And that's all I got. That's all I got.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Hold on. It's set to the wrong thing.
Really?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh, God. What do we do now? What do we do now?
Wait, you're calling the Warriors out to play. Stop that.
Wow.
There we are. Here's another one, just in case.
Yay. All right, who's next?
I'll go, because I'm going to have to catch a bus in a minute.
All right, go, JJ.
Mine's pretty
Get
simple.
Get on the bus. Oh, you're going to recommend public transportation.
Well, I do recommend public transportation. It costs too much in Portland, but it will get you where you need to go. Okay, so it's been about 2 weeks ago that the Fratelli's new album came out, and I love the Fratelli's, so I am very much enjoying the new album, We Need Medicine.
Great band.
I'm actually going to go see them live in about 2 weeks, so I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. And the other thing that I'd forgotten about an older horror film that I hadn't seen in a couple of years, so if anybody has missed 1977's The Sentinel,
man!
I highly recommend it.
Oh my God, yes!
It had been a couple of years.
The gates
since
of hell are in New York City, people.
I think Rox recommends it, but I'm not positive.
Well, I mean, you look at the cast. I mean, it's you got John Carradine, yes. Jose Ferrer, Ava Gardner, Burgess Meredith, Eli Wallach, Jerry Orbach, Christopher Walken, Beverly D'Angelo.
I got to watch this again.
Many times, but I hadn't seen it in a couple of years, and I rewatched it, and I had just forgotten. Just Burgess Meredith alone is worth giving it your hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. I mean, I love Burgess Meredith, and he's just so fantastic in the film.
And you know what? Saving the world from the gates of hell, it's, you know, you're screwed.
It's tonally, I would say it's kind of, you know, if you like Rosemary's Baby, you'll love the tone of this film. It's got the same kind of pacing. Yep. It's got that same kind of feel. But, yeah, it just... this year I've been watching a lot of older films, like a Ghost Story.
You know, the cool thing about 70s horror film, I think, and maybe you'll agree with me, is they are downers. You know, it's like, you know, okay, the curse of the demon, there's sort of an up because, you know, the one guy gets his comeuppance. So there's always a resolution. This, there isn't any. I mean, there is a resolution. However, you as the hero get screwed. You know, Rosemary and Rosemary's Baby, spoiler, she kind of gets screwed, you know. Right. And
well, that's, you know, how the baby happens to begin with.
Right. And the funny thing is I think it was like a turn in the 80s when it's like, oh, we kind of, in some ways, like Poltergeist. You know, if you want to sort of look at a downer horror film, oh, okay, here we kind of maybe... just the Poltergeist one, not the other crap. You know, it's like they kind of give sort of a resolution that kind of seems happy-ish. But, man, 70s horror films are – they're stylish. They're stylistic and, you know, they're downers. They're great, though.
They're because dark as hell.
They're dark as hell. And you know what? You learn something. If you watch stuff like that, you wouldn't let the Walking Dead happen.
Bless you.
Anyway. Thanks. Sorry. I forgot about that.
No. No, I appreciate it. No, I it's just like, it's like if you compare Robert Wise's The Sentinel, or not The Sentinel, excuse me, The Haunting to The Haunting that came out a couple of years ago, and you'll wonder why they even bother continue making horror films, because we somehow forgot how to do it. Even some stuff that's been creepy the last couple of years, it seems like we've forgotten how to end them.
Yeah,
I remember recently seeing the film Mama, which Mama had a really good setup, but the ending was so bad, I walked out laughing.
Yeah.
Well, and I'd just like to point out the one fallacy in what you've said, JJ, is that you simply can't compare the Haunting remake to the Robert Wise's The Haunting, because the Robert Wise Haunting will laugh at you.
I know, but the weird thing is you have somebody like Del Toro who loves horror films, loves the horror film. I think his best horror film was Pan's Labyrinth. As an end, if you compare it to something from the 70s, you know, here the hero gets screwed in the end.
Oh, yeah. Well, I loved he produced it, but I loved the Orphanage. I thought the Orphanage can talk about a movie with kind of a yay depressing ending.
Yeah. Did you ever see Don't Be Afraid of the Dark with Pam Darby in it?
I actually have never seen the original.
Oh my god, you gotta see it, with the little people under the house. Oh my god, and you gotta watch Pam Darby because it's got Uncle Charlie in it.
Oh, and William Demers.
Yeah, I think it was made, I think it was a TV movie. So you can actually kind of find it on YouTube, I think. It's not cheesy, but it is kind of creepy. You know, it's like Burnt Offerings, which, you know, who could do horror was Dan, who did Dark Shadows.
Curtis.
Curtis, yeah. Burnt Offerings, great. Awesome. Anyway.
Although those Dark Shadows movies weren't that great.
No, they weren't. I don't understand. Except one of them actually got an Academy Award.
I know. That's stunning.
Yeah. But on a whole, his other stuff is really good. So I don't know where they came up with that one. I watched it anyway. So anyway. Sorry, JJ.
No, I appreciate it. You enthusiastically endorsed what I said. And now I am going to go so I can catch a bus.
Enjoy your bus.
I'm eating a donut. The
wheels on the bus go round and round.
All right. Bye, JJ.
Bye, JJ. All right, who's next?
I am.
Go, Scott.
Take care. This just came out today. Shut up. This just came out.
What?
What?
What? Nothing. Nothing. It's
See, you made him leave.
No, no, shh. It's my turn. It's a book that just came out called Hyperbole and a Half by Ailey Brosh. It's based on her blog. And essentially she tells stories about her life, her rather odd childhood, her dealing with like depression, and they're accompanied with these charmingly crude drawings. And for nothing else, you have to read The God of Cake Story. It is absolutely hilarious. I mean, it's basically she wants the cake her mom made, and mom says no. And she tries everything to get to the cake, and it fails miserably, and, you know, hilarity ensues. So it's really a cute book, and some of the stuff she wrote on depression is very, very honest about what she went through. You know how people who are on depression don't really feel anything, so it's like when they get back on, when they take a antidepressant and they start feeling again, it's like, what the hell's this? What am I feeling? What is going on? So it's actually a pretty cute book. So go ahead and pick that up. And I'm done. Dong.
All right. Thanks, Scott. And didn't she do the bit about her dumb dog?
Yes.
Am I remembering?
There's
okay.
Also stuff which about both her dumb dog and her psychotic dog.
Mm. Lovely. All right. Rob, what you got?
Okay, I'm going to start off with a movie, actually, that was on TCM because, like Locke said, they've been doing really cool stuff. I had not seen this. I didn't even know it existed. I was just looking through every night to see what was on, and I saw it, and the premise sounded so bizarrely strange, I was hooked. There's a film called Master of the World from 1961, starring Mr. Vincent Price.
Oh, and Henry Charles Hall. Bronson.
And Charles Bronson.
Yes.
And just those two alone in the same sentence seems weird to me. But there's also an airship in it. And it's basically this mad scientist guy uses an airship to drop bombs and terrify people. And it's pretty great. It's,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, for a Vincent Price movie that's sort of under the radar, it's really under the radar. But he's so amazing in it. And I recommend that. I believe it. I think it's out on DVD, but I'm not sure. It's called Master of the World with Vincent Price. Also, the new Best Coast record, Fade Away. It's a little short, but it's good. So I do recommend that. Also, Crimes of Passion, the brand new record from Crocodiles. If you haven't heard Crocodiles yet, if you like, if you're a fan of Medicine or My Bloody Valentine or things like that that are noisy and crunchy, then you will like that. If you want something dancey, I do recommend the new Cut Copy called Free Your Mind, which is sort of more electro than their last record, but it's also very, very, very good.
That's and fun. Then, it's a fun record.
What now?
It's a fun
yeah,
record.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and the last thing I want to recommend is Frankie Rose, the new Frankie Rose record, Here in Wild, which is really, really nice as well. So there you go.
All right. Thanks, Rob. All right, John, what have you got for us?
Not much, as usual. I'm on a Pink Floyd kick lately, so buy everything Pink Floyd over at the needcoffee.com/Amazon, and that's where you can go to get that stuff. You don't have to actually go to the actual Amazon. You could actually just go to needcoffee.com/Amazon and buy everything Pink Floyd from there.
Which
just
I
buy
heart.
Shit. Just buy lots of shit.
Even their crappy late 80s, early 90s stuff is fine, too.
It's just different. I heartily endorse buying lots of Pink Floyd.
Although, really, I don't think it's crappy. You're right. It is just different.
Yeah. Awesome.
Buy the Discovery box sets.
Yeah.
And then buy several of them at needcoffee.com/Amazon. Buy them for, the Christmas season is coming upon us, or
it
the
is.
Holiday
it
season.
Is.
Widge prefers to get all of his gifts at Halloween, but other folks in the rest of the world are normal, and they have the
well,
end of the year
you
season.
You say this, and you are suggesting people buy Pink Floyd records for Christmas.
This is true.
Here you go, son. Here's animals.
or even more inexplicable, here's Adam Hart, mother.
But anyway, yes.
I remember traditional Christmases. We'd all sit around the Christmas tree and just listen to Adam Hart, mother.
And then we'd sing along with several species of small furry animals gathered together in a cave and grooving with a Pict. Look it up!
Guess what anyway. We'd light the Yule log to?
And then I remember the late, you know, late Christmas Eve viewing of The Wall. As we all had dreams of...
The little boy that Santa Claus forgot. Thank you, Tuffley. It all gets tied together. And then goes over the falls in a barrel. Okay, so...
But do they know it's Christmas, Wedge?
Interesting. Well, that's interesting.
I think, you know,
pull.
Tuffley, I think the trick to that, the answer... is really, instead of sending in all that expensive food, just send calendars. Anyway, so yes, John is absolutely right. Go to needcomfort.com/Amazon as we approach the holidays for all of your, any of your buying needs. It takes you right to the Amazon front page like you've gone there, which you have. Or, of course, there are search boxes on every page of needcomfort.com. And anything you buy, no matter how large or small, helps us with kickbacks, and we do appreciate it.
Hell, if you have Chrome and you go there as often as I do, needcoffee.com/Amazon, at some point it just looks like the Amazon homepage anyway, so you never even know that you're
yep.
clicking it.
That is very true.
Thank you, Chrome.
Thank you, Chrome. So, my recommendations. Music-wise, I will recommend it's just $9 on MP3. It is a fascinating album called Those Shocking Shaking Days, Indonesia Hard Psychedelic Progressive Rock and Funk, 1970 to 1978.
Whoa.
It is exactly what that title implies. And really,
I'm not sure that was specific enough.
Volume 3.
Oh, okay. Now okay. I know what you're talking about.
So anyway, so it's the music is actually really, it's one of those things where you go, I saw this and I went, this is either going to be awesome or it's going to suck. And it is awesome. So pretty much every track on there is worthwhile. I would also recommend, since Henry Rollins was mentioned, yes, Get in the Van is a great audiobook as well as a book. But I would recommend pick up The Boxed Life if you want to sample his spoken word stuff. The dude is actually fucking hilarious. So I highly recommend that. And I will also recommend that that you go, and if you've not already seen the trailer for the new Wes Anderson film, The Grand Budapest Hotel, with Ralph Fiennes and everyone else in the world, I highly recommend you go see it, because you will see why a conversation like this happened. Ring, ring. Yes, hello, this is Ralph Fiennes. I'm sorry, you want to cast me in a comedy? Really? Fuck yes. Yes. Who are you? I mean, when was the last time he didn't play a serious dramatic role?
Oh my god, yeah.
And he look, Rox, have you seen this trailer yet?
No, I've been actually watching the SNL.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I love that thing. I want to see that film.
I know. The Wes Anderson horror movie trailer that SNL did with, can I say, when I first saw the still of Edward Norton as Owen Wilson, I thought, oh, they got Owen Wilson. I literally thought that was Owen Wilson. I thought maybe he had hosted that night. But no, that is funny. But Rox, you will love the trailer for Grand Budapest Hotel. Oh. It looks incredibly sick. And it's got everyone in it. Bill Murray, Harvey Keitel, Tilda Swinton, Schwartzman, yeah. Norton's back. I mean, it's just awesome.
Yeah. Can I do a bit of a shout out real quick?
Yeah.
That SNL episode, since you brought it up, the musical guest on that episode was Janelle Monáe.
Oh, yeah.
So, NBC.com or Hulu, go check that out.
Now, has she done a, because I remember the breakout thing for her was when she did on Letterman, what's it, the...
Tightrope?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, is there an equivalent live performance for that album? Because I've been dying to see her do... Because I didn't like the Dance Apocalyptic video. anywhere near as much as I did the tightrope.
There is actually, I don't know if it's still up. If you go to the iTunes Festival,
yeah,
she did a full set.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Which I think you can still get that through Thursday because then they pull all that iTunes Festival stuff down.
Okay.
There's a full Janelle Monáe set as one of the iTunes Festival sessions. Actually, iTunes Festival, watch a lot of those while you've got a chance. Queens of the Stone Age is in there. Arctic Monkeys is in there. Janelle Monáe's in there. I think Haim's got a short little thing in there. Lots and lots of Vampire Weekend has a full set in there. Really nice live stuff, which is all free until the end of the month, I believe, through iTunes or Apple TV.
Cool. Lovely.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
But go yes, ahead. If you want to watch them, go get them now.
Indeed. All right. So that's the extent of my recommendation. So I think as we've seen, our numbers slightly dwindle as we all just get exhausted because we're old and tired.
Recovering
from illness and parties and all
parties
manner of insanity.
At your house.
Party of insanity. I would say that we should probably take a moment to pause and reflect on what has just transpired, whatever the hell it was. And as we are doing so, we should, just like we do every week, take a moment and say, anal glands.
Oh, yeah!
Anal glands.
Oh, God.
Glands of the anal.
Record that one.
I hope he recorded more than that one.
Well, yeah. Scott's Biology Minute brought to you by Prolix.
Glands of anal.
Oh. So there you go.
That's a thing.
Definitely a thing. Yeah. If that were any more of a thing, it would be bitching about Yancey Street.
All right, so let me try this theory out on you.
Okay.
Just, you know, chat away, and let me see if something happens.
So, we're chatting.
Tell me when echoes begin.
Okay.
Okay, so we're chatting away.
You know, they finally retired Munch from SVU.
Really?
Yeah, still on the
finally.
Show. Yeah, yes. But Bells are still on the show.
What? How does that work?
Bells are
still
on the show.
He's doing. He's now doing the DA squad.
He's working for the district attorney. He's an investigator for the district attorney.
Really?
They had the whole party. They actually got a couple people from
Homicide
to be at his retirement party.
Nice.
So they had a whole thing. So
now if Luther had shown up, that would have been even better.
Luther and Alice.
And John Nettles.
I want my Alice spinoff. Alice spinoff.
Oh my God. I want her as the kooky neighbor.
I almost want her to show up. You know, they're actually going to.
Want her to show up at my house. That's all.
No, they are going to actually retire the captain they have there as well, probably at the end of the year.
Oh, they've had him forever.
Well, yeah, but he was also in the first season of Law & Order, so he's been kicking around for a while in that in the universe.
Yeah, he's hitting mandatory retirement on the show. So, I mean, according to NYPD regs, so that's why. But no, I want them to bring back the girl from Criminal Intent.
Oh, sorry.
No, Criminal Intent.
Why?
The one that was the partner.
Which
with
one?
Oh. The one that was the partner with Gorn. And bring back Alice, because one of the big things they had in Criminal Intent was Dabo as a crazy British person. So I would love to see a reaction.
You just like crazy British people.
I think who doesn't? Give me just a minute while I clarify. That was Your Weekend Justice, episode 204, Simon, and the Violent Savant. It was a production of NeedCoffee.com. The show is engineered and produced by John Boutel. This podcast's league roster was
in order of how fast they can metabolize the Matchbox car in an emergency, John Boutel, J.J. Hawkins, Lee, Rob Levy, Roxas Spazhouse, Scott C., and Tuffley. This episode was directed by T. Quillen from a script by Doc Ezra and Dindrain, with additional material by Alonzo Clemens and Jedediah Buxton. All editing glitches were from me, Widget Walls. Special thanks to everyone who sponsors the site and makes shows like this possible. Now, if every listener to this show just donated 99 cents a week, the entire server and bandwidth would be more than paid for, with enough left over for a pastrami sandwich or two. So, if you've already set up your easy recurring micropayments at needcoffee.com/support, then your sexiness is that of legend. If not, though, it's not too late. Go and join the cool Froods. Go to needcoffee.com/support and throw some coins in the virtual tin. Thanks in advance, and now, here's Dakota.